Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be surfing like California.
720 WGN, a happy 4th of July to everybody out there listening on the radio. It's myself and Jisuke. Gee, how are you doing here today?
I am doing great. Happy to be spending the holiday with you.
Yes, we are wrapping up the Steve Cochran portion of the show till 10 here on 720 WGN, also on CLTV. So hello to all the viewers out there as well. And we'll be in for Bill and Wendy then. And then we'll also be in for the first half of the Wintrust Business Lunch till 12:30. We are spanning three shows. So any 4th of July traditions or plans here today that you like to take part in, G?
Well, you know what? This is one of my favorite holidays because as a first generation immigrant, my parents actually had to apply for citizenship, take a test. Being an American means an awfully lot to our family. And I remember growing up, my dad would fly the American flag on our front porch every day, and then he would fold it up if it rained. And that was how proud he was. Mm-hmm. And, because I was a little bit older when they got their U.S. citizenship, when I was in middle school, I actually had to go to the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Office and take an oath. So I didn't have to do a full test because my parents had passed the test, but because I wasn't born here, I did have to answer like two or three questions, I think really, really easy questions, and then I did have to take an oath. So I still remember...
So you weren't born in the States?
No, I immigrated here when I was 4.5 years old, so I remember raising my right hand, taking my oath, and I was probably in the sixth grade, and I have my citizenship papers framed.
Wow.
So it's very important. I mean, you forget how young this country is, really.
Really, in the grand scope of things. Yeah,
and how well we've done overall. I mean, to be, you know...
Where we are today.
Yeah, young, scrappy.
Well, we were, you know, there was a new poll out about whether people are proud to be Americans. And I know it's a loaded question, and I totally understand. And you cannot ignore this country's past and the founding fathers, you know, are well-respected men, but no women at the table, no people of color, of course. You had still the slave states for the first hundred years or so history of the United States. And, a lot of people, I can imagine there's reasons why they still think the American dream is unrealized, and that's totally true.
Well,
but I am proud to be here and to be an American just because I know we're all, I think, striving for some of that shining city on the hill.
Absolutely. I think about my parents who, you know, my mother told me that when they landed here, and they actually landed in O'Hare before they caught a connecting flight to Charlotte, North Carolina, because I grew up in North Carolina.
So their first experience in the U.S. was O'Hare.
O'Hare, yes. And they thought it was the most beautiful place ever. They had never seen such a gorgeous building and space. And I remember my mom said they had $100. My dad had $100 to his name, and that's how they came here. They gave up everything that they had and everybody they knew, and they didn't speak the language, and they came here. The thing they were most impressed with coming to America was the grocery store, and that there was an entire aisle just for your pet food. They couldn't understand it.
I've heard similar stories of people like your parents that come in and go to a big store for the first time, and they're overwhelmed by the abundance of food.
Right.
You know, what you have to choose from.
And just a couple of weeks ago, I was chatting with here on WGN, an organization that works with young women in West Africa that actually brings them here to the Midwest and kind of shows them our way of life. And they're amazed not only at the abundance of food, but the manners associated with having food at the dinner table, that you can grab what you choose, what you want, and those sorts of things. And those are the everyday sorts of things, like the grocery stores, the eating habits, whatever it might be. And we do it right here in the Midwest. That we have this abundance, and we do have this wealth. A lot of us are fortunate to be able to have those opportunities. And we take it for granted. We certainly do. I love how O'Hare is their beautiful shining on the city on the hill as they come into the States. Yeah, and I think that, you know, we could go deeper on this and talk about, you know, obviously there's people out there that are suffering, and suffering continues. We have a political discourse right now, which is a little more uncivil, I think, than in recent past. And we have strong disagreements, and we should. But I personally believe what a wonderful opportunity opportunity we have to be able to chat about these things here on WGN every day. The text messages, the phones come in, and that's what makes this country a beautiful place.
Yeah, and if you just think about how far we've come in such a short amount of time in terms of as a country, it's really remarkable.
I always just feel like as long as everyone recognizes that there's other people that need a boost up and need some help and we all need to work together, as long as you can recognize, I'm trying to avoid the word privilege, but because I know that is a heated political word, but if everyone can recognize the opportunities that they have and strive to hopefully at least allow everyone to have the same opportunities, that's the important thing.
I think if you strip away politics and everything else, if you really just take people as they are, as neighbors next to one another, generally, people do really care about one another. People, Americans tend to help other Americans, and we do care about one another. I think it's just you put it in the context of politics and other things, and that's when things start to go a little haywire.
Right. Well, I think when you see when our country has the worst things happen to it is when you see our strongest points of rallying. I mean, when you whether it's the world wars or after 9/11.
We just need aliens to invade at this point, and then the entire world will rally together.
Oh, good.
Just like in the movies, John.
Yes, we'll do that. I wrote down this segment as like, do you like fireworks and things like that? Do you have any 4th of July traditions in your family? Did you guys light up the fireworks or anything like that?
We did early on. We would have to drive across state lines to get fireworks.
Oh, and then similar
of course,
to here,
yes. Yeah, and then of course there would be that giant barn, right, with a sign that says fireworks. Uh-huh. And like you'd go in. And I have this memory of somebody handing me those little poppers, those red poppers. They don't really light up or anything, but you throw them and they pop really loud. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Little, yeah.
Well, they told me to squeeze them between my hands, like my fingers. And I did, and it scared the
Yes, because it popped in your hands.
Yeah, I still remember that. Traumatized.
As everyone gets ready for their fireworks celebration, I've got two brothers that are firefighters. My dad's a fire chief. And just a reminder, know your rules and regulations and be safe with them, folks. I talked to my brother who got off shift last night and already a few injuries. I won't say what town, and one of them was a rather unfortunate incident.
No one
died, but
were fingers lost?
No fingers, but some friends decided to stick a firework up somewhere they shouldn't have for one of their friends, and it went off and not in the right way. And don't do that, people. This
John,
poor kid.
You're kidding.
Yeah, not try to launch it from a certain point, I'll say.
Okay.
I don't want to draw a picture
said it,
for
it
you.
No, very bizarre.
It sounded way worse than it was meant to be. I think the kid's going to be okay, but just be safe, everyone, today.
I remember when I first moved to Chicago, I was so impressed with how many neighborhoods had their own fireworks display.
Yes.
It's not just a Navy Pier.
Right.
Every neighborhood, they have their own display happening in the alley where all the garages are. And the greatest part is being somewhere kind of on a rooftop. You know, forget about the Navy Pier stuff.
Right.
Just get on a
watch
rooftop in the neighborhood, and you can see these little fireworks going off in different little sections.
I've lived in 4 different neighborhoods since I've been in the city. The best neighborhood for amateur fireworks is, without a doubt, the Humble Park neighborhood. It is like a war zone there with the fireworks going off, and I'm just so thankful that... I am on the jam tomorrow morning. Never mind. I do have to wake up nice and early tomorrow.
Yes,
but yeah, so everyone's got their own displays.
Oh, I always think about the little dogs. Everybody has dogs that are a little afraid. You got to get them one of those little thunder jackets or sweaters or comforting something or another to make them feel
better. Or just go down to Kankakee for the day or something like that. 312-91-7200. Love for you to join the conversation with your 4th of July plans or what you do for your traditions. Also, let us know if, I throw that out there. Are you proud to be an American? We were kind of talking about that earlier.
What was the actual percent? It was something
It
was somewhere in the 40s,
It was less than a majority of Americans say they're proud to be an American. And it was only the second time since they've been taking that poll in like the last 20 or 25 years that they felt that way.
I'm sure most everyone is proud to be an American. It's just that they maybe don't agree with everything that America is doing.
Right. I think you said it right. Strip away the politics and try and answer that question. We got to take a quick commercial break, but more with G and John here on 720 WGN. That song makes me want to be on a boat right now. And my younger brother has one. I was trying to convince him to come up the Chicago River today. He's off after helping all those people with their fireworks. He's off today, but with these storms, you don't want to lug that boat. He lives out in Downers Grove. And just a couple, like last month, he came on it was a cooler day, but it was nice out. And then we got caught in a hailstorm on the Chicago River because these storms pop up out of nowhere.
The weather has been so bipolar. And I know that you play a weatherman on TV sometimes.
Right. That is the best way to describe it.
What has been going on?
Well, it's, a lot of this is this Ring of Fire situation. There's so much moisture in the ground.
That sounds like a Johnny Cash song.
It is. And it's yeah, he was a good weatherman. No, but the idea is that you get so much ground moisture because we've had so much rain. And then when you get some heat and humidity, it causes evaporation, which causes the rain to continue to fall.
I just want it to be sunny, okay?
And not only that, the models are having a hard time predicting it, too, because they can't anticipate the ground moisture evaporation and informing storms overhead. So it's just been a real mess. On and off storms this afternoon.
You never cease to amaze me with your knowledge.
Oh, that's sweet. Oh, by the way, Gia, we had a text from the 847 wanting to know what country you are from.
Oh, I was born in South Korea. And my parents immigrated in the early 1980s. Mm-hmm. And, of course, South Korea is totally different now.
Right.
So, I mean, it's seen incredible change in the past decades. But, you know, it's interesting, speaking of that, how a lot of Korean Americans and a lot of other immigrants, I think, that immigrated during the 80s and then later subsequently saw their countries become incredibly economically developed, right? They are in their own little environment and universe, because that type of Korean American doesn't really exist in Korea anymore. Or not Korean American, but that type of Korean, because Korean people have changed so much
just
culturally.
in 30 years.
Yes, because of what that country has undergone.
Right.
So in fact, there are a lot of traditions that are preserved only by Korean Americans in the United States, because they took those traditions and kept them
interesting.
Yeah, so it's
so they keep the Korean tradition alive here in the U.S.
in a different thing. Way than maybe that happens in the country. So it's very interesting.
312-981-7200, your 4th of July traditions as we start off this 4th of July show. G. Suki and John Hanson, by the way, filling in for Steve Cochran, to Bill Wendy, to Steve Bertrand. As we spread the sandwich. Yep, we're here.
Speaking of boats, okay, the goal of every Chicagoan is to know somebody that owns a boat.
But not own one themselves, yeah.
Yes, exactly, because it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that your brother owns a boat.
Yes.
So then, by virtue of the fact that I know you,
well,
three degrees of separation, how have I not been on this boat?
That's a fair point. And I think you bring up a really good one there. I mean, we've just become better friends here this year, and the rain has been so bad that we've only been on the boat a couple times. He takes it down to the Illinois River down by Morris a lot.
Okay.
But that river was flooded until early, mid-June. I mean, like, you couldn't get on the rivers. It was dangerous.
Is it better to be on the river than it is to be out on the lake? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, we like putzing around the river. That's always fun. But yeah, we don't go past... We go into the playpen. We're playpen people.
You do not.
Yeah, we just
I can't handle
but
the playpen.
Yes, you can.
I cannot. That's where all the rafts are tied together.
We don't do that, though.
Oh, my goodness. That's where all the beautiful people hang out.
There. Trust me. It ain't happening.
Hey, mm-hmm. I think you're leading the pack.
New 4th of July tradition. We'll take you out on the boat. We'll convince Drew to get us on out there. I had a text from the 815. My family's 4th of July tradition was a birthday party. This texter's birthday is in late June. Her sister is in early July, so the party was held on the 4th. So they played croquet, badminton, softball. Well, that's a whole little sports day, a little 4th of July Olympics, and of course, food. Wish I could go back about 45 years to those days. Aw. Well, reminiscing about past is always something that a lot of people do. I know as I was a kid, we would, my parents and their good college friends, they've stayed close throughout all these years. They had kids too. We would always come down. Remember the fireworks here in Chicago used to be on the 3rd of July. That was like the big thing, the night of the 3rd, and it coincided with the Taste of Chicago at the same time. So we would come down, they'd rent a room at the cheapest hotel they could find downtown, they'd pack 9 kids in one room, the adults in the other one. I don't know what they were doing in the other room, probably having some drinks while we just partied, and we'd go watch the fireworks. We'd stay overnight so we didn't have to drive back out to the suburbs, but that was our tradition every year, and it stopped, and then they eventually changed the fireworks to the 4th, and they moved the Taste to the week after. But I mentioned my fire chief father. I probably shouldn't even say this because he's still working, but what was great about being his son, number one, is he understood the safety of the fireworks, but he always got all the confiscated fireworks from his town and brought them home.
Oh,
I hope I'm not
goodness.
Getting I won't mention the town name right now.
I don't think you're supposed to say that, John.
I probably not. Well, the police confiscated them. They gave them to the fire department to destroy. And some just happened to make their way in a cardboard box back to Downers Grove.
Well, listen, if you're going to light fireworks, you do it in the presence of a fireman.
Exactly.
Firewoman. Either one.
Exactly.
You're in good hands.
We were being very, very safe. 312-91-7200, join the conversation. We're going to be talking about the Declaration of Independence after the news. A fascinating conversation. Just what that really was like. But before we get to that and the news, we've got to talk about Walter Jacobson's perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. Jisoo Gee and John Hansen here in for Steve Cochran now, then Bill and Wendy, then a little bit of Steve Bertrand. Gee, I forgot to say hi to our wonderful producer here who helps do everything. Vivian, how you doing?
I'm doing fabulous.
Happy 4th of July
Happy
to you.
Happy 4th.
Any big traditions in the family or do big plans this afternoon?
We usually go boating.
Nice.
Wait, can you invite Gia on the boat? Because clearly I've uninvited her from mine.
Now
so.
I know two people with a boat.
Now you know two people, G.
Right.
We're actually trying to go today, so hopefully the weather kind of cooperates with us.
Just blame Shawnee. It's fine. By the way, before I get to Shawnee 847, my family tradition was to have fireworks on my front porch with my neighbor until I accidentally blew up my front porch.
Wow.
Luckily, no injuries, but that's a good reason to stop that tradition. I should tell the story about how my brother burnt down the lawn. We'll do that after the news or maybe a little bit later. Thank you, Shawnee. 720 WGN. Gee, are you a history buff of times of the American Revolution?
I am a little bit, and I really got into it, especially with the Hamilton musical, too.
I think lot of people's introduction into that. I wish they might have learned a little bit earlier, but hey, whatever way in.
Absolutely.
We're happy about it.
No.
Well, here to break down the weeks leading up to the signing of the Declaration of Independence is a good friend of mine. We've done this now, 3 years, David, here?
This is the third year. I think that officially makes it a tradition.
It is a tradition, right, exactly. David Shostokas, who was the assistant state's attorney for Cook County State's Attorney's Office in the 90s, and wrote a great book, a really digestible book about the creating the Declaration of Independence. Thanks for putting up the title for me. I had it here, but I had to change tabs. David, thanks for joining us here again today.
It's so great. It's very, and it's really, really nice to be here during the day.
Yes.
Apparently, I'm improving as the years go by because my time slot is getting better.
Yes, it's you and it's G that lets me on in the better sunlight hours here. Okay, let's start off with where the book starts off. How did you get started on this project? And you start in June of 1776 is where this book starts off, correct?
The book starts off in June 7th, 1776.
And why start there?
Follows a fella that is little known through history, an important founder, however, a fellow by the name of Richard Henry Lee. And on the 7th of June, 1776, Richard Henry Lee went to the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia to do something that had never been done in the history of the world.
And that was?
He proposed, he's the one that submitted and proposed the resolution to declare independence from Great Britain.
Why do we not know that name more as the founding father who originally kind of put voice to those thoughts?
And apparently the victors write the history. I would suspect that Thomas Jefferson was probably a better marketer than Richard Henry Lee, and certainly James Madison. He became known as the father of the Constitution, but of course he took the best notes at the Constitutional Convention. So in terms of who writes the history and has the best notes that we have available to us, I think those people got a little more famous and a little more credit than others. Richard Henry Lee certainly was among the more crucial folks, because prior to his making the resolution in the morning session of the Second Continental Congress on June 7th, nobody else would in fact utter the word independence in public.
Wow. Why? Because, I mean, this had been brewing for years, of course. The colonies, you know, go back plenty of decades before that. And, you know, the stamp tax comes before that. There had been, you know, open skirmishes. There obviously was the Boston Massacre leading up to some of these things. Why does it take so long for someone to utter those words? Paint the picture.
Well, here's the situation. Uttering the word independence was, in fact, committing treason against the king. And treason against the king was a very, very, had carried some very, very unpleasant penalties. There was about a four-step process if, in fact, you were prosecuted for treason. The first step of the process is to, in fact, have your guts cut out.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. But they were careful to cut your guts out and not kill you.
Oh, my goodness.
Second step of the process involved having you be hung by your neck. But they were also very careful, again, to cut you down before you died.
Wow.
And finally, after you were hung, cut down, and by the way, during the course of the hanging, they were burning your insides in front of you so that you could see your guts being burned.
Oh, my goodness.
And finally, at the end of that situation, you were in fact beheaded, and your head was put on a spike to demonstrate to other folks that treason was a bad idea. And then the rest of you was cut up and spread to the four corners of the kingdom.
I mean, talk about dying for liberty.
Yeah.
I mean, this really paints a picture.
Are there examples of that having happened in the colonies?
You know, this is a very interesting thing. You mentioned that I used to be a prosecutor, and I've been in the criminal justice system for a long time. Many penalties for crimes carry terrific penalties. However, very seldom does anybody actually get to these terrible, terrific penalties. However, the guys at the Second Continental Congress that were debating independence were actually aware and knew some folks that had, in fact, been beheaded.
Wow.
One of the more prominent beheadees, if you will,
I will,
was Dr. Joseph Warren. Dr. Warren, in the aftermath of the Battle of Bunker Hill almost a year earlier, had in fact been beheaded. Dr. Warren was the John Adams family personal physician. In addition to that, he was a brigadier general in the Massachusetts militia. And besides all that, he was one of the leaders in the Massachusetts Senate. So he was a real famous guy and would have probably been among the more prominent founders had he been able to keep his head.
Right. So this is a real threat to these people when this proclamation or this announcement was made in the Second Continental Congress in June. Does it fall on deaf ears, or is it split 50-50? What's the mood in the Congress when Richard Henry Lee suggests this?
They're scared. They're frightened. They do what legislators do in many respects when a fairly controversial thing comes before them. They decided to form some committees.
And how many committees are we talking about?
They actually put together three committees. One of the committees was to draft a treaty, kind of a form treaty, because they were hoping to gain alliances from Spain and France primarily, but other foreign powers as well. They were hoping to do that. So one of the committees was in charge of doing that. A second committee was in charge of putting together a form of government to put them to govern the colonies in the aftermath of independence, should they in fact declare it. And then the third committee, which is probably the subject for today, was a committee to, in fact, write a declaration if, in fact, they decided to adopt Richard Henry Lee's resolution declaring independence, declaring that they were no longer associated with Great Britain.
So this is in the hot summer months of 1776, or hot June. And how do we progress through these weeks? How does that go? How do people get convinced?
I want to know about people's temperaments. Were there fights? What was going on?
Well, one of the more interesting things is, of course, Richard Henry Lee did this in the Continental Congress, in fact, and where there was a record. But a whole lot of the work of the Second Continental Congress really actually got done in a place called City Tavern in Philadelphia.
with some drinks.
Oh, absolutely. With beer and ale, much of which was brewed to the recipes both of Jefferson and Washington.
Wow.
And City Tavern actually exists today in Philadelphia, and you can go there and get beers and ales that were...
So Washington and Jefferson were the original hipster craft brewers, is what you're telling me. Small craft.
It's amazing how some things never change with time.
Exactly. You know,
do a lot better thinking over a cold one.
Yes.
Absolutely. You do it over a cold one, but more importantly, they were able to do these things off the record.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how secret? I mean, everything had to be very secretive, right?
Oh, my goodness. It really did have to be secretive because of this whole treason thing.
Yes.
Right.
The whole guts all across the country.
The whole guts off the country and losing your head.
Good thing there wasn't Twitter or anything like that.
I would just be paranoid all the time. I can only imagine what that would be like, to constantly have to worry about, you know.
Yeah, it really was. Speaking of it, we'll go back to Dr. Warren for one moment, because, of course, his head was separated from his body.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while for them to, in fact, identify the head as belonging to Dr. Warren. And an interesting sidelight is, we know Paul Revere as famous for his midnight ride with the one if by land, two if by sea. Paul Revere was also a silversmith and did a lot of silver work. But among the things that he did with that was, in fact, fill cavities.
Oh, wow.
With silver. And he put together silver cavity fillings, and in fact had done fillings for Dr. Warren.
Oh, wow. So that's how they...
They ultimately identified Dr. Warren's head by virtue of the silver fillings that Paul Revere had put in his mouth.
Happy 4th of July, everyone.
And interestingly enough, I was on a different show with a couple of retired police officers. They found this really interesting because...
Dental records.
It was the very first... example in the history of the world of forensic dentistry.
Wow.
Yeah. So
we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we got to go from how we get from June 7th, you said it was?
June 7th.
To July 4th, with a couple other important days along the way that some people thought would be what we actually celebrated as our national independence. More with David Shostokas after this on 720 WGN. Put my hands up to play my song, the butterflies fly away. 720 WGN. Man, you gave that your all, G. I'm going to join you there for sure. And speaking of Carmen, you're on with him tomorrow morning, right?
I am.
Bright and early.
Yeah, I've never hung out with him before.
Yeah, so. He's great. You're going to have a blast. Okay. Absolutely.
You know, he's got a high bar with you.
Sweet of you to say. Well, the bar is being set much higher from our earlier conversations with David Shostokas, who wrote the book Creating the Declaration of Independence. And David, we're up to June of 1776. Richard Henry Lee has said the words that come with it, stiff penalties if the crown catches wind of what he's done, saying independence. The committees are formed. They're drinking beer. How do we get then to early July? I mean, I imagine there's a lot of debate, discussion happening in the Continental Congress. Is there a pushing point which pushes this over the edge to where it looks like the Congress is going to make this happen?
Well, it's very interesting about the declaration itself. Of course, we mentioned the three committees that they formed originally. And for all practical purposes, nobody thought that this was going to be a big deal. And everybody kind of shied away from the opportunity to write the declaration. It was five guys on the committee: John Adams, Ben Franklin, Roger Sherman of Connecticut, and Robert Livingston of New York. And, of course, Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson was on the committee because they needed somebody from Virginia, which was the biggest colony at the time. And Richard Henry Lee, who's the natural guy to be on the committee, wound up getting called back to Williamsburg, where his wife was ill.
Wow.
And so Richard Henry Lee had to leave town, and Thomas Jefferson got stuck on the committee.
Wow.
To substitute for Richard Henry Lee. Then you wind up in a situation where Ben Franklin was really, really sick with gout and largely didn't attend a whole lot of sessions and didn't get involved in very, very many things. And they asked Franklin about writing this, and he said, listen, I never write anything that's going to be edited by a committee. And so Franklin begged off. Sherman and Livingston were really on there for political purposes to include New York and Connecticut. And so Adams and Jefferson wind up, the two of them, in City Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about what the declaration should in fact include. And so they had some conversations about the sum and substance, what they're going to try and do, that they have to talk to the nations of the world, that they have to talk to the American people, that they have to talk to the Continental Army, that in fact George Washington is already in charge of out in New York and Massachusetts. They were spread around in those situations. So they talked about what they were going to, kind of the formation of the declaration, and that's discussed in the book. It's kind of interesting because there are a couple of lawyers, and the Declaration of Independence, if you look at it from a legal perspective, if you will, you will recognize it as like a criminal complaint.
Interesting.
It starts out with a statement, essentially a statement of the law, who the defendant is, King George, who the plaintiffs are, if you will, the people of the United States of America. Then it lists the crimes of King George, and then lists the resolution for the issue, and that would be independence.
Right.
And so, strangely enough, if you put that against a legal complaint that's put together to date, it reads it's the same structure. Lawyers are given too much credit. They kind of copy and paste a lot of stuff.
Some boilerplate stuff and fill in the blanks. Yeah.
Yeah. So they got together and they decided that over a beer.
Two guys in a beer. When G and I go out drinking together, we can barely put together a tweet, let alone a Declaration of Independence. That's incredible.
Yeah, they talked about that, and then
so they go back and forth, and they eventually have to bring this to the Congress. But it's not only bringing the document or having the document there; it's rallying everyone behind the cause.
Well, sure. And then they, while they did that, they still didn't figure out who was going to write it. And Jefferson didn't think that it was real important. Actually, he wanted to be in Virginia. He didn't want to be in Philadelphia because they were writing a constitution for Virginia there, and he thought that was more important work than this.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the state constitution,
For the constitution of, for the state of Virginia, and he thought that was more important. And that discusses that's in the book some aspects of what they're trying to do there. But Jefferson, and a couple days later, Jefferson and Adams get together again. And Jefferson is figuring that Adams is going to do this. And he says to Adams, you know, I imagine that you're going to put this together. And Adams says to Jefferson, well, I don't think so. I think, Tom, that you should be the one to write it. And he says, why is that? He says, well, you're from Virginia. I'm from Massachusetts. Massachusetts has got all this stuff going on where we're shooting people and things. They'll think we're trying to drag everybody into it.
The skirmish is in Massachusetts. Yeah. Let's bring everyone together by uniting different parts of the country.
Right. And so it's important that a guy from Virginia is involved in this. And he said, besides all that, he says, you write 10 times better than I do.
So Adams known for his speaking, of course.
Yes, absolutely. And he's trying to talk Jefferson. And he said, besides all that, he says, you know, fact is I'm actually kind of obnoxious and people don't really like me. He probably could use it. He probably could have used Stuart Smalley a little bit, but people don't really. And he says, and Tom, people really like you. You know?
How great would it be if that self-awareness was across the board currently?
Yes.
In Washington.
In all parties. Yes. In both parties.
In both parties.
Yes.
I mean, with everyone. You
yes.
know, that they could actually decide that, you know.
Hey, I'm not good at this. You go ahead and do this.
That cooperation. I mean, just thinking about everything that had to come, that had to align together. The fates had to come together for this to happen. If you think about how hard it is for to get anything done now, this is unbelievable.
It really was incredible. Although Adams was really, really busy. There was about 30 committees that he was on all kinds of subjects, war and ordnance and other kinds of negotiations between the colonies and things like that. So Adams was extraordinarily busy, despite the fact that nobody liked him much.
Right.
They did respect him.
Mm-hmm.
They did respect him. And so Jefferson finally says, okay.
I'll write it.
I guess I'll write it.
So he starts putting pen to paper, and obviously he's someone who's proud of his work. Any changes suggested by any of the other fathers that went into the document?
Well, ultimately, there's two things. This talks about the value of a really great editor. The fact is Ben Franklin only made one change to Jefferson's original draft, where the statement that goes, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Jefferson had originally written, we hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable. And Ben Franklin scratched that out and said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, which flows so much.
Yes.
Flows so much.
The prose is better.
Yeah, the prose is better, but that's the only change Ben Franklin made.
Wow.
And ultimately, Jefferson's draft got cut by about 25% by the Continental Congress itself when they finally got the draft and edited it. So it turned out to be 25% less. And strangely enough, one of the big sections that they cut out was Jefferson's tirade against the king for not going along with the efforts to abolish the slave trade.
Interesting. Ah. So that was being debated and discussed at the Second Continental Congress.
Yeah, Tom Jefferson was quite aware of the dichotomy between we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and the existence of slavery within the colonies. And there is a section of the original declaration that got cut out by the Congress that was in fact an attack on slavery. And so Jefferson understood the dichotomy of what existed at the time and what they were trying to do.
So we turn the calendar to July. We're going to actually have to break for it. Can you stay around for one more second? I think we need to dive into this a little bit more. You're going to stick around for a little bit longer,
David. As long as you need.
Yeah, because I want to get into those couple of days in the beginnings of July and why one of our founding fathers thought we'd be celebrating on July 2nd instead of July 4th and wrote to his wife that very thing. David, before we head to the news, let us know where can people find the book and talk a little bit just about what the book's all about.
The book's available. Creating the Declaration of Independence is, in fact, available on Amazon. You can also read more about it on my website, shestokas.com. That's S-H-E-S-T-O-K-A-S.com. And hear about things regularly on Twitter, at shestokas.
All right, we're going to turn the calendar towards July of 1776. We'll eventually get to the 4th. Nice choice, Viv. I like this. Not the most 4th of July thing ever, but I just love a little disco. Nothing more American.
Yeah,
than...
but these guys were trying to stay alive. Good. Everybody, yeah.
Gee, look at that.
That's what Viv was thinking.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. She got it.
Hey, everyone. Happy 4th of July on this Thursday morning, 10:07 here on 720 WGN. Gee, Shuki, you having fun so far?
So much fun, and I'm learning a lot, too.
That's the thing. We really are. We're joined by David Shestokas, who wrote a book, literally, about the Declaration of Independence called Creating the Declaration of Independence. I should mention John and G in here for Bill and Wendy. We're here till 12:30. We're going to roll into the Winter's Business Lunch, but we're going to do these topics and more up till White Sox baseball pregame at 12:35. So we're just going to keep on rolling.
I
girl.
Love it. So easy breezy with you, honey.
Oh, thank you. And David, too. You're easy breezy. Has sure. anyone ever described you as that?
That would be the very first time.
Easy breezy Shestokas. Okay, so we've gone from June. If you're just joining us, David recapped how Declaration was not declared, but it was brought up at the Second Continental Congress in June of 1776 in Philadelphia. There's committees. You've talked about the writing of the Declaration of Independence, and that kind of brings us to where we are. We have a draft now of the Declaration of Independence. It's been written, and then how is it presented? How does it go?
I think it might be worthwhile to back up for just a moment
sure.
and talk about the drafting and the fact that Jefferson primarily worked by himself in most of this. And actually, what he did was kind of a review of human history to see if there was anything like this for him to model his work on.
Not easy without Wikipedia, I will say.
No, not easy without Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. And he was unhappy that he left most of his 3,000-book library back in Virginia, but he did rely on a number of things and did look, and about four times in human history people had tried to overthrow a king, but in every other time that there was a declaration in human history, all they really did was get rid of the king they had and pick a new king.
So replace a monarchy with a new monarch.
Exactly. Replace a monarch with a new monarch. And this was just unheard of in 10,000 years of human history, to create a country based on an idea rather than upon the pure exercise of power. And he needed to express that, and he needed to be able to motivate people to, in fact, because he had a variety of audiences that he had to address, not the least of which was Washington's Continental Army.
Right.
And the American people. And the folks in Spain and France that they hoped to have for allies. And, of course, they needed to be able to tell the king what they were trying to do.
I mean, I think the thing you have to remember, too, we're so used to everything being so immediate. If you're thinking about travel times, if you're thinking about disseminating information, that just took an inordinate amount of time back then.
Once they did issue this, it was about a 6-week period before it got over to London.
Right. Wow. Because this is we're about probably 80, 90 years before the invention of the telegraph, or about 60 years before the invention of the telegraph or so. So yeah, information had to be hand by hand, voice to voice at that point in
That's
time.
That's exactly right. And so, and once they did issue it, and we can get to that, they did public readings in public squares around the country to let people know, and posted it on the courthouse doors and things of that nature. That's how people learned about things.
Okay, so he writes it throughout late June then, and then
through the course of late June, through the course of about 22 days, he puts this together primarily by himself. Which
so it wasn't like me in a term paper where it's like the night before you're like, oh god, it's July 1st, I better get going on this thing. No, he spent some time
and In fact, but he did some other things during that. As we sit here at this table, swiveling in our chairs, there was no, in fact, swivel chair had ever been made in human history up to that point. Jefferson wanted to turn and look out the window sometimes and then turn back to his quill and pen on the desk. And he, in fact, took the window apart which had rollers to have
roll
the window
up and down,
roll up and down, took the rollers out of the window, cut the chair off the top of the stand, put the rollers on the seat of the chair, and invented the first swivel chair.
While he's
writing the Declaration of Independence.
I love swiveling, too. I don't know which one's more important, but I like them both. I'm happy he figured that out. Wow!
Yeah, so...
What are we doing with our lives? He was 33 when he did this, too,
He was 33 when he did this.
Gee, what are we doing?
I'm just going to quit now.
Yes. We're already past that. Okay.
So, yeah, while this is going on, while he's creating this and trying to express what he called the American mind, about 40 years after the Declaration, somebody asked him what he was trying to do. And he said, really, I was only trying to explain the common sense of the matter, and that's exactly what he was trying to do. And in the midst of that, he created Abraham Lincoln would refer to as the American Creed, and the most perhaps important words in American history: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that governments are constituted among men to secure these rights, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Those 55 words really set the table for everything that's come afterwards. And I suspect it would be, most of us probably spent some time memorizing the preamble to the Constitution. Mm-hmm. If rather than that, we spent time memorizing those 55 words, because so often these days people say, well, that's not who we are as Americans or whatever. Nobody ever says, in fact, who we are as mm-hmm. Americans. Those 55 words define what America is supposed to be.
And you mentioned memorizing it. He was not looking at a sheet of paper, folks. He was staring right at me and giving me some chills there with the start of the mm-hmm. Declaration of Independence. Okay, so Jefferson writes it.
He writes it. And he writes it about 25% longer than the Continental Congress wants. And they spend about 3 days actually debating this and editing and scratching. And
are they on board with independence yet?
They haven't voted yet.
So they're editing the document in case they come around to deciding to do this.
In case they come around to deciding to do this for a couple of reasons, one of which is, strangely enough, the representatives in Congress, unlike what we have today where these guys vote whatever they think after they're elected, the representatives in Congress had to get direction from their home states.
Interesting.
And some of them had to travel back to New York and a couple other places to get directions from their local legislature on how to vote on this subject. And so there was some travel issues that were going on, and then there was the debate. Jefferson was unhappy with the edits. He said that, in fact, the Continental Congress had emasculated his Declaration of Independence. But, in fact, ultimately, they voted for independence on July the 2nd, which you had previewed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And John Adams famously wrote to Abigail on the 2nd of July that, in fact, the 2nd of July was the real birthday of America, that, in fact, the 2nd of July through the course of history would be celebrated with games and sports and
fireworks.
He mentioned fireworks in particular in his letter to Abigail.
Well, he was right about that. Just missed it by a couple of days. We should get both days off. And, throw in the third, too. We should get a whole chunk of the week off, right?
With this tradition of three-day weekends, it should be like a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Down a week and have readings of the Declaration of Independence during the course of that.
So then what happens on the 4th? Why is it the 4th that becomes known as what we celebrate as the birthday of America, I guess you could say?
Two things happened on the 4th, one of which, of course, is they completed the editing work. They voted on Richard Henry Lee's resolution on the 2nd and approved his resolution on the 2nd. They spent a little more time doing the editing, and then there's something called the Dunlop Broadsheet.
Okay.
Broadsheet, excuse me. And Mr. Dunlop was a printer in Philadelphia, and they sent out the ultimately approved draft of the Declaration to Mr. Dunlop, who printed the original copies for distribution. And because they sent it to Mr. Dunlop on the 4th, he dated it the 4th.
Ah.
And so Mr. Dunlop's dating of the Declaration of Independence that got printed and distributed ultimately wound up having us celebrate the 4th of July rather than the 2nd of July.
Since it was printed on everything and distributed that way, that just got ingrained into who we are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That got ingrained in who we are. So it was about 2 days late.
So as a historian, and you're really thinking of these founding fathers in the flesh, or thinking about them as human beings with flaws, with attributes, how do you... What do you wish people kept in mind when they're celebrating July 4th that you wish you could impart?
Yeah, what I wish that we would keep in mind was for 10,000 years of human history, the whole idea that some people were better than others, that some people were born to rule over others by virtue simply of their birth or by virtue simply of their power, was set on its ear on the 4th of July with the execution and the distribution of all men are created equal. That, you know, people unfortunately take umbrage at the fact that these people had flaws, that they lived in a time that there was many practices that are unacceptable to us today. But the fact is they set in motion something that had not existed. You know, the world before on July the 3rd was a world that was ruled by kings and chieftains and shahs and pashas and just dictatorial individuals all around the world. There was never, ever a country that was put together with the concept that all men are created equal. And whatever our flaws continue to be, think about this, that it's only been 243 years, and for 10,000 years before, this was not an acceptable manner of thinking. This was not a manner of acceptable mm-hmm. thought. And all the progress that we've made with, in terms of ethnic groups and expanding the body politic and their participation, whatnot, Jefferson set that in motion. And not only just for the United States, but since the issuance of the Declaration of Independence, there's been about 180 countries have come into existence. More than 100 of them came into existence by the issuance of a document modeled after the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. So it was not only the United States that changed that day, but it was, in fact, something that changed the entire world.
That is worth celebrating. And you are a poet, sir.
Yes, David Shostakis. The book is Creating the Declaration of Independence. What I love about that book, I read David McCullough a lot, and I've read 1776 and John Adams and other things. What I think you've done really well with this book is you make it, and this is not a slight, you make it digestible, storytelling. It's for anyone of an age that can understand this sort of stuff, but it's really great to distribute, and it just kind of puts that human element onto it.
A quick backstory on that.
Yeah.
One of my best editors, my mom was just 90 this year. And when I do writing, I almost always have mom read it first.
Yes.
And mom will go, "Hey, Dave, that sounds too much like a lawyer. You know, don't do this." And I will correct it until mom approves.
Uh-huh.
And so this stuff is mom approved. And the fact is that I think helps a whole lot, because I wanted to be able to tell this story, not for lawyers.
Yes.
Not for lawyers. Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell the story for the American people. And I think that it's important to remember that both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were not written for lawyers. They were written for the people of the United States to be able to share, digest, and share with one another in the taverns and the farms and the yeah. and the general stores of the day.
Amen to that. David, thanks so much for stopping by, and we'll see you next year. If not before then, of course.
If not before then, maybe we can get to talk about the Constitution. In the meantime, it is Creating the Declaration of Independence. Dave Shostakis, available on Amazon.
Thanks so much.
That.
More with G and John after this on 720 WGN. Sorry, G, I made you jump all over Whitney all right. there.
I like that.
Which is a cardinal sin in the LGBT community.
I know. Keeping
no one talks while Whitney sings, everyone. That's
keeping
a rule.
Keeping me on top of things.
G and John here on 720 WGN. And what a fascinating conversation with David Shostokas. Every year I have him on, and it goes longer than we expect. It's just so cool to hear about it.
Well, it's great to learn about things about the actual people and to see them as human beings as opposed to what you learned in history. Because, you know, history is not taught the right way. It's usually taught in such a dry, it's like, because it dehumanizes the people that actually...
It's all dates and locations.
Right, and it's like, it's not about that. You need to, like, actually say, like, you know, what it was like and the setting and what did it feel like? What did it smell like, you know? I know that some people thought maybe some of that was gruesome, but I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, we had a texter saying that was grotesque, but I think what it does is it puts us in the context of just how dangerous this really was for these men to come together and declare this sort of thing. I mean, when we, and I think we lose track of the time of it. This wasn't the start of the revolution in a sense. We had already been fighting. We already had an army. Washington already had an army from the First Continental Congress. Lexington and Concord, I believe it already happened.
Right.
You already have the Boston Massacre. You have the Stamp Act. So there's a big lead up to this that we kind of lose sight of.
Yes. And of course, there's still social injustices happening today. Very important, deep-seated ones that are integrated into systems that our government runs. And I think people are fighting for justice and for their causes as well.
Yeah.
But I thought what he said at the end was very interesting. Like, if you think about the history, the 10,000 years of history, where the entire world was pretty much run by dictators or monarchs or chiefs or, you know, it's, you know, that's part of why my parents immigrated to the United States at the time is because they wanted the opportunity to move beyond where they were born. And if you think about it, it's very difficult in many parts of the world to actually leave the history and the cycle of what you were born into.
Right.
You know, if you think about caste systems.
Yes.
You think about religious persecution. You think about sexual orientation persecution. You think about communism and freedoms. I mean, it's...
To reverse the course of history is not easy to do.
Right.
To change it. And that's what I think that when we talk about... It is important to mention that Jefferson owned slaves.
Yeah.
I think it's important to mention that these founding fathers had flaws and did not welcome people of color or women to the conversation.
And we're still working for women's rights as well. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. But I think what it reminds me is that this is the kind of work that requires real sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people were laying their lives down on the line for this. So, you know, it's interesting to think about.
Yeah, and I guess at the end of the day is, he's right. Someone had to set this stuff in motion. Mm-hmm. You don't get to complete equality, and we're not there yet across a lot of spectrums.
Yeah.
But you don't get there overnight, and you need flawed people to start that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, there's just not going to be a generation of people that are born and say, this is wrong. Equality is 100% across the board. We're accepting every gender identity. We're accepting every woman. Not to demean or, you know, take away from the fight for equality, which I think you and I are champions of, but some flawed people have to start that conversation. You know, right?
Yeah.
If it's a flawed system in a flawed world.
I just think it's so remarkable that when you think about the course of history and not just that time period of people that actually make such a remarkable stamp that we are still talking about them to this day and leave such a lasting legacy. And you think about just how short our time on this planet is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're just here for a blip.
Yeah.
And if you're able to make a difference, it's mind-boggling to me.
It's not just barbecues and fireworks on this show, people. We're talking about how
short life. Let's lighten it up.
We're talking about social injustice.
Sorry.
After the news, we're going to talk about swim safety. Look, a lot of people haven't gone swimming yet this year because it's been cold, it's been rainy. A lot of people maybe don't understand how Lake Michigan is very dangerous right now. So we are going to talk to a swim expert, not to bring us down a little bit, but also just some safety tips for you as you decide to go out to your pools or your barbecues today.
I'm not a strong swimmer.
Are you not?
No.
Mm-mm. Well, then listen on up. I don't think they're going to be able to teach you, but I think they're going to try.
Yeah, I do a very interesting hybrid form of a doggy paddle and froggy paddle.
Oh,
I don't know.
A defroggy, yes. You defrog your way across Lake Michigan. Don't Google that, people. It is 10:30, which means it's time for the news. Mm-hmm. 720 WGN, Jisuke and John Hansen here. Nice job, Viv, putting me in my place. We're here till 12:30 today, so Viv had mentioned that we were halfway through because we started at 9.
And then guess who got nitpicky?
Well, I mean, technically, we're still about 10 minutes away from the halfway point. But Viv puts me in my place.
You're
thanks so much.
You're a half-glass full person, not a half-glass empty.
I'm happy to talk as long as they have me talk here, yeah. So I don't even think about it in halfway.
I think you're just exact.
I just go until the light turns off. Joining the six, you know, today is a day where a lot of people are going to be swimming, either at the pool or at the lake. So I thought it'd be important just to chat a little bit about swim safety. I think a lot of people, it's not necessarily at the forefront of their minds.
Absolutely.
And people don't realize just how, dangerous it can be and how important it is to learn swimming, or at least have some tips here today to certainly be aware of. So to talk us through that is Steve Karapathian, the franchise owner of Goldfish Swim School. It said Steve K on the line, but Steve, did I get your last name correct?
Don, that was perfectly.
Yes!
Okay. We're good. You nailed it.
All right, I got it. All right, Steve, obviously today, the whole summer, but you know, I think a lot of people might be swimming for the first time today. It's been not the warmest start to the summer here. What are some things that people need to, obviously at Goldfish, you guys teach kids at a very young age. What are some things today that people should be aware of or be thinking about as they're heading to their parties or out to Lake Michigan?
Yeah, we do. Thank you. And we'll get into that a little bit. But it's kind of been a slow start to the summer. So people are getting out there, good weather today, good weather coming up. So 4th of July is obviously big time. A lot of pool parties, a lot of people at the beach going out on a boat. And safety. I mean, like you mentioned and kind of introed this with, that's number one for everybody out there, is making sure that parents are watching over their kids, they're watching over their teenagers, family members and neighbors are watching out for each other. Safety is the name of the game here. Hypervigilance around, around the pool, if you're out at the lake, if you're out on your boat, that's the key. Paying attention to your kids, not being distracted by cell phones or magazines or, whatever other things are going on. People are having a barbecue in the backyard and, you get a little bit distracted, working on the food, having some, fun with your friends, and just knowing what's happening if you're in and around water.
I think that's important to point out, especially in the news with a country singer, his son, three-year-old,
yeah.
Granger Smith. His three-year-old died in the pool. So it's not just large bodies of water like Lake Michigan you've got to worry about. It's about the swimming pool, too, in the backyard.
No, and that's exactly it. And a lot of times, it's a horrifying statistic, and I hate to, talk about this end of it, but that's the time when it happens. It can take 60 seconds or less when you've got your back turned and you're not paying attention to it. It doesn't even happen to be when everybody's congregating around a pool. You could have the pool, party could have ended and everybody's moved inside, but hey, maybe there's a noodle floating around in the pool and that looks kind of enticing to a little one who may find their way, out into the backyard, and heaven forbid, something worse happens. So again, I say hypervigilance, staying aware, designating. We like to say, if you're getting together with people, designate a water watcher.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Put parents on a schedule, just like we do in our swim schools and, a lot of the pool facilities that people visit around town. Put them on 15-minute shifts. Just say, hey, you're up, 15 minutes. Put your phone down. Please pay attention to the water. Please pay attention to the kids, making sure everybody's being safe, because it can happen in an instant, and it's not always when you think it's going to happen.
And that gives someone who doesn't want to be a part of, it's a great walk-away opportunity from the conversation. If you're like, someone brought up politics. I'm on pool watch right now. I'm watching the kids.
Exactly. It's an easy out for somebody who wants to just kind of take a step away for a second. I'll mention a couple things just because I think it's important. They're a little bit scary, but I'm going to bring them up.
That's important.
Drowning is the leading cause of accidental death among children age 1 to 4 in the United States. And it's the third leading cause for kids age 15 to 19. Last year, in the Great Lakes region, 2018 was actually the worst season we had on record for accidental death and drowning in and around our area. So we definitely don't want to see those statistics repeated again this year. Again, just making sure people are paying attention to what's going on in and around the water. So yeah, making sure never leaving your kids alone. You know, be aware of the risks in and around the home. If you have a little pond in the backyard, definitely if you have a pool out back. Whenever there are infants and toddlers, in and around the water, always have an adult within arm's reach. You never want to be too far away.
And Steve, we're not only talking about deep pools and deep things. I mean, I think that a lot of people know their swimming limits and limitations, and they probably have a good idea of what their kids' skill levels are. But I mean, even like a little kiddie pool in the back can be dangerous if you're not paying attention to those little ones.
Absolutely. It's something that we talk about in our school at Goldfish, is, you could take that even one step further, John, and talk about a bathtub at home. People don't think about that, but 1 inch of water, especially for a little one who's in there and doesn't know what's going on, an inch of water is all it takes. If they fall, face down into the water and they can't get themselves turned over, you've got a real unfortunate situation on your hand at that point. So yes, it's not just deep pools. Our pools at Goldfish are only 4 feet deep, which is still relatively shallow. A lot of the summer pools that you go to outside, 12 feet deep in the diving well or something like that. But even in a 4 foot pool, like we have so many of, we've got lifeguards all over the place, making sure that, kids are being watched. It's too important.
All right. Go ahead, G.
Well, how young is too young? When should parents start putting their kids into classes for swimming?
So interestingly enough, just a couple of months ago, the American Academy of Pediatrics revised their recommendations on this, and they came out very strongly saying that you should start to put your kids in swim lessons by the age of one. You can actually start them very early. At Goldfish, we start lessons in parent taught classes for kids as young as 4 months old. You can start them pretty early. And with the young kids, it's getting them used to the water. Water acclimation is a huge part of it, getting them comfortable, getting them in there so that they're relaxed. And then we can start to, teach them the fundamentals of safety and then eventually learning how to swim. But yeah, so the AAP said, age one, get them started. You have to kind of look at swimming as a life skill. People think of it as a sport. And it is definitely a sport, but we don't expect everybody to go out there and become the next, Olympian.
Michael Phelps, yeah.
exactly, right?
Some parents do. Some parents are getting their one-year-old in there. They're like, come on, get this guy in freestyle. Backstroke.
Definitely. Yeah, I think those were my parents. For me and my brothers, that's where we went down that line. But you have to think of it as a life skill, just like learning how to ride a bike.
Yeah.
But even maybe more so, because safety around the water is paramount. Getting kids into lessons early. Obviously, most swim schools are probably closed today, so you can't get them in there today. But
it's not
don't wait.
Today. Yeah. And I've been to so many of the Goldfish swim schools. Doing live shots, we met there doing stuff for the jam, and just the importance of it. I am blown away at the skills and how little the kids are, and how great they are becoming. Not only just swimming, but even like the basic things, like rolling on your back, knowing how to be able to do that, find the edge, and hold on to the edge. Those little things that you think that are instinctual in humans, in many ways they are not. They need to be taught at that young age.
Yeah, thanks, John. We love it. I'm glad you brought it up. We have such a fun time in our facilities with these young kids. We kind of have this method. We refer to it as the science of swim play. We've really put a lot of thought into our curriculum and how we teach these little ones, how to be safe in and around the water. So while we're teaching them how to swim, we're also impounding these safety skills into their brains. And so we're actually teaching them how to swim by first and foremost teaching them how to be safe. So the skills kind of, follow a progression, and that's the way our curriculum is developed. But yeah, the absolute very basic is, learning how to, teaching a kid how to float comfortably on their back. Heaven forbid somebody falls into the water. They got to know how to flip over so that they can breathe until help can arrive.
Now, if you're swimming on the beach or you're at the lake or you're at the ocean, would you recommend always putting on a life vest on kids? Or what do you recommend?
So, yep. Yeah, this is a great one. So always, 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 if you are not a proficient swimmer or if your child is not a proficient swimmer, certainly a Coast Guard approved life vest is number one. And I can't stress that enough. A lot of times, you know, when these unfortunate drownings happen, it's because parents are actually relying on, you know, little floaties or maybe a noodle or something like that. Those are not approved safety devices. If you go to the store and you buy a life jacket, you know, Target or Walmart or West Marine or wherever you go, it'll have a stamp on there that says U.S. Coast Guard approved. And that, you know, more than anything else, that's what we're going to recommend for anybody who does not know how to swim.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
Second,
go ahead.
Second to that, I would say for the little kids who maybe life jackets are a little bit big, and you're going to be in the water with them, but you still want to have them have some kind of support, are those puddle jumpers, you know, the ones that slip on over your arms, but it also has that big flotation across the front of their chest. I would say that, you know, as a secondary. But again, even with that, I would say please have an adult. Always have an adult, you know, within arm's reach if somebody who doesn't know how to swim is in the water. But definitely life jacket.
We got a lot of goldfish swim schools popping up all over the place. How many guys up to in the Chicagoland area?
So we actually have 13.
Hey,
we've got Chicagoland pretty well blanketed all the way, you know, north to Mundelein, all the way out to St. Charles.
And we're going
to Burr Ridge, couple in the city.
Where's the best way for people to find out more information, Steve?
GoldfishSwimSchool.com.
I love when it's easy.
We're there. Super easy. You can jump on there, type in your zip code. It'll route you to your closest location, and we'd love to have you.
Steve Karapathian from Goldfish Swim School. Thanks so much for joining us today, okay?
Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful 4th of July.
Yeah, you too.
Everybody be safe out there.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, Steve. Always important stuff. Gene, great question, too, about the life vest, because I always wear one when I'm in Lake Michigan.
Okay.
If I'm jumping in.
Me too. I mean, obviously, I'm not a strong swimmer. I told you about
right.
My froggy / doggy paddle.
I'm the guy in the playpen. Yes, I've got my, I got a beer in one hand, and then I've got my,
oh,
I'm just
nice.
Floating there on my noodles and my vest.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the playpen was all about showing off your awesome bod.
Well, that's why I wear a life vest, G. Thanks for bringing that up.
No,
I wear three of them, in fact.
I only mentioned
it. I put one on top.
I
wear one upside down.
You shouldn't be hiding, you know. You should share your bounty with the world, you know.
Bounty. During the commercial break, I'll show you my bounty. 312-91-7200. Hey, after the break, I want to play a fun little game.
Okay, I'm ready.
We're on a vacation day or a holiday or whatever it is. Ruin a vacation or a holiday. What are the four words that ruin any vacation or holiday? And I want you to call on in 312-981-7200. Tell us the four words. Yes, not three, not five. Four words that ruin any vacation or holiday. And you will win if it's the best one out of the ones we get.
Mm-hmm.
G and I and Viv will be the judges. A Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Ruin the 4th of July in four words. After this on 720 WGN. American woman, stay away from me. 720 WGN, 1050 on this 4th of July Thursday. Getting busier out there on the lake. I could see the locks were opening up and people are hanging out, ready to get on in there and head to the playpen or wherever they want to go today, or just putzing around the Chicago River. Nice right now, I'm looking at the radar. Looks like for the most part, and Ryan will have an update with us at the news at 11, but just a little blip coming on up. Looks like the Interstate 39 corridor, Interstate 80 or so, kind of Morris area, Peru, along the Illinois River. Right now, okay in the Chicago metropolitan area, but showers and storms expected throughout the day. Okay. Sorry, I went on a little...
I love that little mini weather report.
Well, I got the radar up. Might as well do it here a little bit. Yep, Interstate 80, just east of 39.
You can't help yourself. Look, you're going back into it.
Some showers and storms along Interstate 74 between Bloomington and Champaign. Okay, so four words to ruin the 4th of July holiday. The winner on the call line, the phone line as we call it, will get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Got one text, says four words. We're out of Tito's.
Ooh, yes. I think we had a lot of derivations of that, right?
Yeah. Yes. Here's a good one. Someone call an ambulance. That's that's never a good one on the 4th of July.
I have one.
Gee, what do you got?
Your flight is delayed.
Your flight is delayed.
That's the worst.
I don't want to do too many of them, otherwise we're going to ruin
the ones in the car.
No, that was a good one. Your
How
flight
about
is
this?
Go ahead, Ryan.
The wick is not short.
The WIC is, that's five
that's
words.
Five.
No!
That's five.
It's really easy. It's really easy.
Darn it.
Let's go to the phone lines. Kathy, you're on WGN. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th to you as well.
Where are you calling from,
How
Kathy?
I'm up in Wakanda.
Ah, Wakanda. Very good. Okay, what are your four words?
Your card was declined.
Yes, that's a good one.
Kathy, that's a good one. Kathy, stay on the line. We'll determine if you're the winner. Let's
Kathy,
go to Rich.
I like
Rich,
that.
Where are you calling from? You're on WGN.
I'm calling from Bolingbrook, and this is for those of us that like to get a little bit rowdy or do fireworks.
Uh-huh.
The four words are, the police are here.
The police are here. So we got your card is denied, and the police are here. Rich, stay on the line. Let's go to Mary.
Rich really likes to party.
Hey, Mary, you're on WGN. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chicago.
All right, Mary, what are your four words?
I don't feel good.
You don't want to be sick on a holiday. That's a good one. Are you feeling okay, Mary?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, good. That's good. Those aren't her four words. Stay on the line, Mary. Let's go to Yolanda. Yolanda, where are you calling from?
Chicago.
And what are your four words?
It's going to rain.
Ooh, that's
yes.
a good one. That might ruin the party. So we've got your card is denied. The police are here. I don't feel good. And what was Yolanda? She just said, it's going to rain, which it might. Let's go to Dwayne here. Dwayne, you're on WGN. What are your? Where are you calling from?
Princeton, Illinois.
Princeton, all right.
How about when the cops stop you and you say, I forgot my wallet.
I forgot my wallet. Yeah, that's a good one if the police call or if...
Yes, or if you're trying to have to pay for all the snacks at the cashier.
You're responsible for all those things. 312-981-7200. Got a lot of texts there as well. We're only taking the call ones because that's how we give away the pizza. Four words, where is my hand? That's a good one. I hear, if your hand...
Firework.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hear tornado sirens. Yeah, that's not a good one. Hopefully that's not a current thing.
Toto.
Yes,
we're
exactly.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
Ooh, this is for bad for any day. We need to talk.
Oh my goodness. That will not only ruin a vacation, it will ruin just everyday life.
Right. Here's a great one, especially for us here today. I have to work. Ooh, that's no fun.
But you know what? This doesn't feel like work for us today.
Oh, yeah. But there are a lot of people out there working.
Yes, and
thanks
we're
to
proud
our
of you.
First responders, too, as well. They're working hard today.
Yeah.
Forgot to bring sunscreen. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I lost the keys. That coming in.
That's the worst.
847 with I want a divorce. Okay.
Wow.
That's not good any day.
I think that usually follows I want to talk. Or we need to talk.
Right. Oh, summer is half over.
You know what? Summer just started
just
here
started.
In Chicago.
We're fine. I like this one. Whose bra is this?
Wow.
Were those bad words? I guess that you're having a good old time.
You know what? That's going to bring up a lot of follow-up questions.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so out of the ones we had Kathy, we had Rich, we had Mary, we had Yolanda. What are you going with? And Dwayne as well. What are you thinking here? Which one was your favorite?
I think I'm going to go with the card was declined.
I'm going to go with that one, too, because if you're buying things, so Kathy, your card is declined. You are the winner here today, Kathy.
Woohoo!
Now, have you ever had your card declined in a moment when you didn't really want to? Like you're going to go to a party and you're like, oh, goodness, not today.
Kathy, I'll answer for you. I've had it happen to me.
I'm not trying to embarrass her. I'm just curious.
Only when I was out of town on vacation, I had forgotten to call my credit card company to let them know.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. In fact, when we went to Canada, I was worried about... I just went to Canada a couple weeks ago and had to pay for something. I was like, oops, should have probably told them that was changing.
Yeah.
Kathy, any big plans here today for your fourth?
I'm going to get out on my motorcycle and hopefully not sweat too much. That's
you... are my Shiro. I love it. Lady on a motorcycle, wind whipping through your hair, you taking the road. That's unbelievable.
I love it. The wind whipping through your hair, but under the helmet, right?
Yes,
of course,
yes,
Kathy. Yes,
yes.
I hope
course.
So. All right.
Of course. All the gear, all the time.
Well, Kathy, you stay on the line. You've won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. No card decline needed for that. There we go. Okay, we're going to have a quick commercial break and then the news on 720 WGN. Four words to ruin your 4th of July. Hey, guys, watch this. That's not a good one. There's no bug spray. That's not a good one either.
No. That's like the sunscreen one.
A lot of sorry, no more beer. Air conditioning is broken. That's not a good one either. Ooh, this is not a good one any day. The test was positive.
Oh, it could be be a good one. If someone, depending if it's a new baby.
Car does not start. I'm never drinking again. We're out of liquor. Yeah, a lot of liquor ones.
Yes.
And by the way, we're a really uniting people. Pat wants to let Kathy know that he's looking for a riding buddy. So Pat and Kathy all talk together. And she's got pizza, too. She's got to share it with someone.
I've always wanted to be able to ride a motorcycle.
Never done it?
No. I mean, I've ridden on, with someone, but I would love to be able to, maybe I should try a Vespa first.
My mother would kill me, seriously. If the motorcycle didn't, she would. You just heard the tone there. It's 11 o'clock.
Take my hand and come with me because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine. I say you look so fine that I really want to make you
mine. Hope you're enjoying this gorgeous 4th of July. It's so beautiful, right, Sean?
It's incredible. And the boats are... I just guilted my brother who decided not to boat today because there's storms and I get it. And he's the one that's got to put the boat in the water and drive it all the way up here. Mm-hmm. But I just sent a nice video of all the boats out there being like, come on, please.
Yeah, guilt him because I'm supposed to get on this boat.
We're on until 12:30. So yeah, we're going to hop on your boat, Drew, if you come on up.
Well, this is G and John in for Bill and Wendy today. Thanks for joining us on this beautiful holiday.
Wonderful.
So John, I do a series called The Grid for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Absolutely.
It's a video and a printed article.
Mm-hmm.
In that, under that umbrella, I do Neighborhood Eats, which is local favorite restaurants. Mm-hmm. And then I also do a sip column about places to go to have a great drink.
Have a little sip.
Yes, darling. And then next week, I am going to be featuring Eris Brewery and Cider House. And what's really cool about this is women-owned, women-run.
Amen.
And it was like the first, I think, cider house in the area.
Well, let me turn on your microphone.
Oh, sorry. But let me introduce them first, okay?
That's why
we have Michelle Foyk and also Katie Pizza. So, Michelle, you were going to enlighten us. Were you guys the first? One of the first, right?
Well, we are the first brewery and cider house. So, in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
we are the first woman-ran brewery in the state of Illinois.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, this is key, John. They do beer and cider.
Oh, so it's not just cider.
Right.
That's good because, I enjoy a good cider, but I don't enjoy a good 9 ciders.
Oh.
Because then I get acid reflux.
But you know what? I think they can change your mind.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people have, they have preconceived ideas about cider and that it's super sweet and this, but you have the range. So, tell us a little bit about Eris, Michelle.
Alrighty. So Eris's concept came a couple years ago when we were looking at finding a brew pub that would be able to carry on cider.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to do something special like that because so many breweries are opening up in the state of Illinois that what makes us special, what makes us different, and making cider would have made us different.
So is there a way different process for brewing cider? Because I've brewed homebrew before, but never a cider. Where do the apples come in? How does it work? How does the process, in layman's terms, what makes cider different from the normal brews that you have?
Well, first of all, cider is not brewed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good
that's
start.
The big misconception is that people think that it's brewed. It doesn't get boiled. It doesn't get brewed. It's none of that. So basically, cider is fermented.
Okay.
So the step that you would use for brewing, which is, the kettle and the brew house, and you add the hot water to it and everything to release the sugars from the malt, that's the brewing process, which you get this thing called wort, which is the liquid gold for beer, and then that's converted into a fermentation process, and it turns into beer. Well, with cider, it's press apples, take the juice, put it in a fermentation tank.
Just the juice,
yeast.
So not any of the pulp, or I don't know if apples even have pulp, but the material, the stuff.
They have a thing called pectin.
Pectin, okay.
Yes, so that's in apples too, but basically, no, we press everything out to create the liquid of apples, and then from there, we use a yeast strain, just like in beer, I guess, but during the fermentation process only. We do not heat up cider.
Interesting.
Yeah, cider does not like to be heated up.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Now I can go brew some at home, apparently. That's all I need.
No, you can't. You can't brew.
I am so far away from being able to do it. I can't.
But listen,
I don't even know where to get apples.
Well,
first and foremost,
not only are they going to be my feature for the sip next week, and by the way, they're in Old Irving Park. You want to give your address?
Katie? Sure. We're at 4240 West Irving Park Road, just off of the 90, the Kennedy Irving Park exit. We've got a Blue Line stop, a Metra stop. tiny little parking lot.
Which is great. Yeah. Or Uber on over, just west of Pulaski, right over there.
But I think this is cool because I know that people are going out to the stores right now, bottle shops, they're getting beer. And I think you should get cider, too, because a lot of people have celiac disease, they are gluten-free. That's happening a lot now, too. So throw cider in the mix, too. And the other thing is, if you go visit Aris, they will give you a tasting, and they'll walk you through it. And there are some ciders that taste like champagne. There's some ciders that taste like a sour beer. They will find a cider for you if you think you don't like cider.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Do a lot of people walk in and they just say, oh, I've had one of the big box ciders, and oh, it's so sugary, it's so sweet, it's something that I couldn't, like I said, couldn't have more of. Do you guys find yourselves changing minds when you're having people sip through these things?
I think it's a point of pride for Michelle. You know, it's like it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. She'll sit across from someone and, you know, they won't leave until they find something they're in love with.
Mm-hmm. Man, she knows me too much.
So it's a wide palette, right?
It's a very wide palette, but I love, like Katie said, the challenge of when someone walks in, oh, I'm sorry, I don't like cider. And I'm like, oh, challenge accepted, you know? So I always go to them. I'm like, so what kind of beer do you like? And they'll tell me what kind of beer. Most of people like now, I'm going to assume, just like, so let's say, IPA.
Hoppy IPA.
Absolutely.
Give it to me dirty.
Exactly. Well, hold on. We have a hazy one. It's not dirty. It's just hazy.
Okay.
But then if they tell me IPA, then I go towards our ciders that are dry hopped.
Okay.
So we have a couple of dry hop ciders. And then we also have one that we actually did hop with four different types of hops with our most favorite or best-selling beer called the Foyken Haze.
So it's a similar hop, so similar notes of what you would maybe smell, or it's a little bit of taste in there, but with the cider base, I guess you could say. That seems like a strange juxtaposition to me. I'm so encouraged and excited to try this because I imagine people's faces kind of light up and go, oh.
They really do. And they're very surprised that the cider can taste like it does because they are expecting, and I hate using the word sweet because sweet should not be a negative thing in cider, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but with the IPC is what we call the Foyken IPC. It is this, whoa, I just smelled a bunch of hops in my nose. I tasted it. It's dry, but it's still got that bitterness coming from an IPA. But like Gia said, it was more of a like idea that you have this like, wow, it tastes like a soured hopped.
Interesting.
You know, kind of concoction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, their beers are great, too. But I do think you could go there and you could end up having nine ciders. I don't know if you want to do that. Especially, you should be Ubering
the lighter
or lifting.
Pours. Yes, exactly.
Right, exactly. You could be going through tasting. But the other really cool thing about Aris is that their brewmaster and cider maker is also a woman. So I think that's really cool because this field is really dominated by men. Of course, that's changing, but I feel like they're at the forefront of it. And it's a local neighborhood spot. It's a beautiful space, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Really vaulted. Gorgeous ceilings. It's an old...
Originally, it was a Masonic temple.
So oh, wow.
It was built in 1910, and then in 1981, it changed ownership to a Korean Presbyterian church.
My people.
We are the third owners.
All
so,
right.
So it was a very... thorough rehab to convert it for commercial use.
I bet.
And I love that they've honored its history. They've really made sure to use materials that are kept as much of the original materials as they could. You guys have been having a lot of events, weddings and stuff there too.
Right. And I mean, preserving the building's character, you know, in part because it was an 18-month renovation, we had a lot of Masons come up and introduce themselves and just tell us little tidbits
that they were
about.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, some people knew the building. Some people didn't necessarily have a relationship with the building, but they knew why certain rooms were built a certain way, the layout, the symmetry, the proportions.
And that just helps with your vision and what you're going to do and how to honor that sort of legacy as you go through it. You mentioned history. I mean, cider in the United States has a very rich history. I don't know if people know all about that, but we're all pointing at Michelle to talk about it. But cider used to be the predominant drink that a lot of people had through the 19th century, early parts of it.
Well, I wouldn't say, the 19th century, 18th century, you know, even going back to the time when we had people coming over to immigrate over into the Americas, you know, and colonize it. So they would be planting these cider trees. They weren't trees that were supposed to be edible. It was cider trees. It was these complex tannin apples because they brought it from their countries. England, France, Spain, all those areas are huge with cider. And they all have their own, like the terroir. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like doing a grape vineyard, you know? So here in America, it wasn't exactly the same, but you're still getting all these apples with these beautiful tannins. And tannins are the skins of the apple that gives the complexity to a cider.
Mm.
And then we had Prohibition. And guess what? In the United States, we burned down all the cider apples.
That's crazy.
So even though we're talking about the 1900s, we lost it. We lost all of that historical idealship, if that's a word. I don't know.
Let's go with it.
So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they were all burned down. And then when we had the Great Depression, it wasn't about the survival of cider. It was the survival of
humans.
And not having food and starvation. So they planted dessert apples, which is what helped our economy, and we had food on the table coming from these trees.
Interesting.
Wow, so fascinating. So that helped, you know, bridge the gap in terms of food. I also think that, like, right now everyone's really getting back to heirloom seeds and heirloom varieties, and I think the cider business being booming, a lot of these types of apples are coming back because people have an interest in them, right?
Yeah, a lot of orchards, actual cider makers are planting them in their orchards. You know, so if you go to the upper New York, or how do you call that? Upstate New York.
Upstate New York.
There we go.
Upstate New York.
I'm a Midwesterner. I don't know. Whatever. Those guys up there.
Right.
But they have planted a lot of orchards that have heirloom apples, or heritage apples is what they like to call it also. And then on the East Coast, Maine, New Hampshire, there's a lot of apple trees that have been growing there for a long time too.
Yeah. And Michelle knows her stuff. She's a veteran. I mean, she doesn't look like she's old enough to be, but you want to talk a little bit about your background? I mean, you know ciders because you used to work at Virtue Cider, and then also your beer background too.
Yeah, so I've been working with the family of Goose Island for a long time. So I was working with the Halls. I was there for 10 years at Goose Island. So I started out at 23 years old, and for some reason they believed in the success that we were having with me. So they let me grow within their company. After that, I decided to work on going back to my grassroots and working at a brew pub. And so I worked with Revolution Brewing. And then Virtue came along again with Greg Hall, and he asked to, like, let's do this thing about cider. And I was so intrigued. Cider was just something different, and it was much more clean and green in my world because it's like apples from the tree, put it into a press it, take the pumice and use that for the pigs, and then the rest of it gets put into juice, and then you get to drink an alcoholic, refreshing drink. So, and I worked with them for a little while, and it was one of those things that I really saw the boom of craft cider open up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're always going to have craft beer. Craft beer is what, 30 years now, 35 right. years in the making, where cider is about 15 years in the making with actual, like, people that are opening up their smaller places and or have opened up places that were wineries and then turned into cider.
So the resurgence of craft beer has obviously been well documented and talked about. Do you guys feel, and maybe Katie, you can talk to this, have we reached a peak in terms of the number of little breweries and shops we have, or is this something that we're just still continuing to change minds and getting people to convert over to small craft beers or ciders in Chicago?
Well, I certainly hope not.
Right.
Yeah. I think that every neighborhood has their spot, you know, and it's a great place to build relationships, make connections, just have conversation. People have a real curiosity about craft beverages, whether it's beer or cider. They want to know, like, where their food comes from, what they're drinking is coming from. So to be able to have that conversation and just, it's like,
it's part of the experience.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what's more American than apples and apparently cider? Because it was something that we were drinking for a long time.
And I mean, and you can drink apple pie, too, because that's the cider you can make, too. You know, add some cinnamon in there, add a little caramel in there, and you got an apple pie cider.
What do you guys recap again where people can find your shop and what you guys do and reach out to you guys?
Sure thing. Our handle everywhere is at Eris Chicago.
Can you spell that?
Yeah, E-R-I-S.
Okay.
So actually the namesake is after the goddess of chaos.
Ooh.
So little apple-throwing vixen that she is. We're located at 4240 West Irving Park Road, just west of Pulaski, and Blue Line Metra Kennedy, all transportation.
Can people find your ciders in any stores? You got to go to the shop to find them.
We're not bottling or canning, but we are in a number of tap rooms and bars across the city. We just started distributing. We're really proud of this in April.
Okay.
We're in a handful of places. Check us out or ask for us by name.
It's easy to get to. It's right off the highway, right? And then there's also the CTA,
Blue Line, Irving Park stop.
So easy. It's worth traveling to. And you know what? They're goddesses too, because they're shaking up the beer inside. cider industry. So thanks so much for
And G, where can people find more information next week?
Oh, next week it's going to be on thesuntimes.com. Go under the headline. Go to the tab more. Click on more. Scroll down the pull down and go to the sip.
Just Google it. People know how the internet works.
You guys, know I get prime placement.
Yes, thanks so much for stopping on by. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
More with G and John after this on 720 WGN. WGN 720 WGN. Happy 4th of July, 11:24. Jisuke and John Hansen here from the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 floors above the Chicago River, which is still pretty
gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. I see people kind of hanging out, ready to go out in the locks out to Lake Michigan, but not really heavy traffic out there right now. I think a lot of people are worried about these storms popping up, and even the ones that were just east of Interstate 39, where we had some rain and lightning earlier, as you heard Ryan mention, have kind of petered out a little bit. They still say we're going to get scattered storms or a possibility of it. Oh, one thing I want to dispel a rumor of.
What?
So you know when you look at your phone app, and it says, like, it has a Thunderbolt logo? Yeah,
absolutely.
It says, like, 50%.
Right.
That would think to the average person, you'd think, oh, 1 in 2 chance it's going to rain on top of my head, right?
Right.
It's not what that means.
No, it's not.
It means that there's a 50% chance that within the area, so in a wide area, that someone will get rained on at some point.
Well, I mean, that's not very specific.
Right. Well, of course it's not. I mean, these things are very hard to predict. When you have like a front moving through and it's really easy to identify that there's a change in pressure and there's a change and there's a line of showers coming, that's easy to predict. You just figure out which direction they're going, how fast they're going, how much juice there is, and can they get there? But when you're talking about heat and humidity causing evaporation and causing where these storms are going to come, they're just really hard to pinpoint. So it's frustrating for people because they look at the 7-day and they just see a bunch of storm graphics on their phone and they go, oh my God, it's going to storm every day. No, the vast majority of the time will be like this.
Well, you know, I have an iPhone, so that's, I think that applies to me because I just see like the cloud or the sunshine or whatever.
Right.
But is it better to go hourly? Like look at an app that maybe...
Hourly helps because you can at least trend it. But honestly, the best thing to do is look at meteorologists, local meteorologists like Channel 9. You know, obviously Tommy Skilling is going to tell you because what they're able to do is run models. And even the models are having a tough time picking up these storms because as I mentioned earlier. So I think the best thing is obviously to keep an eye to the sky, especially with these things. Get download a radar app where you can kind of see these things form and the formation
of
them.
You want me to download a radar app?
It's so easy, G. And then it tells you exactly where you are. Here, radar scope. I'm looking and it shows you exactly.
If I download one more app onto my phone, I'm not going to be able to find anything.
Well, just get away from your dating apps, G, and then just find the radar one.
I just text you. I text you, John, hey,
hey, what's
I don't
happening?
Care what you're doing, but tell me what the weather is right now.
So as you're planning your barbecue, still a chance of showers and storms popping up, but again, maybe not as much as you see. I heard that people were canceling their fireworks displays for tonight and last night as well, just on the possibility.
That's so disappointing.
It is, but it was in many areas, no one got any rain yesterday, last night, through the overnight. And then they're sitting there, they're like, why the heck did we cancel this thing? And I think it's because we take this the weather app predictions or what it says seriously.
It's okay. The neighborhood fireworks displays are still on, everybody.
Yes. 312-981-7200.
In your back alley.
Yeah, let
us
know
where, be happening.
Let us know if you're having a fireworks display or not. Hey, Ryan Burrow, before we do the news, 4th of July, any traditions or things that you guys normally do? I mean, imagine you're normally working.
Yeah. Usually working. No, nothing too traditional. I do want to point out that I heard some fireworks a couple nights ago in my neighborhood, and I looked out my back door. No big deal. It was around 8 o'clock. At least it wasn't 2 in the morning. And I saw my neighbors shooting Roman candles at each other.
Oh, my goodness.
So I dialed 9-1 and waited for someone to yell, ow, before I dialed the second one. Never happened, but
goodness.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah, people really don't quite understand the power of these things and the burns. I told the story earlier of someone getting injured last night that one of my brothers on the fire department's kind of had to deal with. And just, it can happen to anyone. You got to really be safe if you're using those things. So, also, I guess that's a good question.
What?
You said it was a couple nights ago, Ryan, that happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When is the appropriate range?
Oh, no. It just
because it started a couple days ago.
Yeah, as soon as it hits, I would say July 1st, it starts.
But are you okay with that? I think it should be the 3rd or the 4th. The 3rd I get because a lot of people have the 4th off and you're doing it the night before.
John, if it makes people happy, if it's something people can hold on to and enjoy to celebrate the birth of our nation, But are you going to take that away from them?
But if it keeps, no, I'm just saying, let's put it on the right days. If it's gonna.
See, now, are you? Same thing goes with Christmas trees. Like, are you somebody that says it has to go up after Thanksgiving or the 1st of December, or when does it have to go down?
Mid-November to January 15th. That's your range. You get there.
Wow, well, then you're generous with it.
Yeah, I'm a little more generous. But yeah. People got to work. You got animals. I mean, like, here's the thing: is people buy too many fireworks, or maybe they weren't able to do it because they did have a storm, and then it's July 14th, and it's like, dude, that was a fortnight ago. What are you doing?
It's like a Chicago area thing, and I think that it's a neighborhood thing. It's a Chicago area thing, so you know.
And it's like buy one get four free. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. I almost like pull off the interstate when I see that. I'm like, I don't even like fireworks, but it's a good deal.
Okay, you've been talking about fireworks all day.
I know.
Are you setting fireworks?
No, I'm nervous. I don't like doing it. My brothers have always done it, and my dad too. All the firefighters have a little fascination, I think, with it, and it's fun. Oh, my older brother.
Now, is there a fire extinguisher nearby when your father and brothers do it because they're fire?
Yes.
People?
Or they're very safe about it. But my brother wasn't as a kid. I've got two great stories, but we're going to save that for after the news.
Okay.
Any fireworks stories you have? Maybe some lessons out there for people that they can hear that would be valuable. 312-981-7200. G, did you have one?
Oh, no, I don't. I mean, I like I said, I like to watch from a safe distance.
Yes. I feel the same way. I like my hands.
You know, I like my hands to be doing useful things, like holding a beer.
Right, exactly. Maybe two
and
then
like a drumstick or a wing or...
Right, or a guitar.
A rib.
/7:20 WGN, 11:35 now on this Thursday morning, the 4th of July, and a boat report filling up a little bit there. People ready to go through the locks. Gee, I just keep on looking. I'm making my brother feel really guilty the whole time he's listening with his wonderful wife, Sharon. Yes,
I can't wait to meet his wife. She said I could come on the boat.
She was the one to invite you.
Somebody didn't.
Yes, because I didn't. 406 area code, which I don't know what that is. I'll have to look it up. Said that there's a difference between Christmas trees and shooting off fireworks. We were talking about how long you're allowed to shoot these fireworks off. Of course, in Chicago, it's never legal. You know, sparklers aren't even legal in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least last time I checked, they weren't. I don't know if they've changed that.
Well, I think that's part of the intrigue, isn't it?
Being able to... Of course. I think it's more fun because you know they're illegal. Right? I mean, that's everything
being
illegal.
Being a little bad.
Yeah, or being a little bad boy with your sparkler.
Side note, 406 is from Montana.
Oh, thank you, Montana.
Wow.
They're just here in the house.
Montana.
So I had said that, you know, fireworks should be the 3rd or the 4th only. Maybe if, like, next year the 4th is on a Saturday, so maybe I'll extend it, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 5th.
I'm just telling you that good luck.
No, the reality is, yes, people will still be setting them off into mid-July because they bought so many of them. They got to get rid of these things. But the 406 from Montana texted in that there's a difference between Christmas trees, which I give you a little bit more broader range to put up, and shooting off fireworks. Trees don't wake you up. They wanted to remind
us. It's true, yes.
It is very true, unless they fall and hit your house. But other than that,
you're living next to the Griswolds, and so the entire house is decked out.
We actually had a text just now from the 847, which is a good point. And while we joke about the fireworks, and we mentioned the pets. Obviously, a lot of them don't like it.
Yes, I know.
It does affect guys, and I imagine gals too, with the PTSD. That is an important thing to be aware
of.
That's true.
All of our service.
Yeah, veterans who have come back and have that obviously can trigger some things. So
absolutely.
Be thinking of those folks, obviously, as you're doing those sorts of things. Look, obviously, it's the 4th of July. There's going to be fun. You can't prevent it. You're never going to prevent people from doing it.
And, of course, be safe with fireworks. Be safe with drinking.
Yes.
Make sure that you're not driving. Make sure that you're not overdoing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything in moderation.
Right.
Be safe out on the water. We had the swimming expert on.
Yeah. Fireworks have an interesting history in my family. I mentioned how we would bring some home.
You've been teasing these two stories. Are you going to tell them after?
No, I'll go ahead and tell them now.
Okay.
So my...
Let me grab my popcorn.
Yeah. So my older brother, who's a firefighter now, I won't say where or his name or anything. This might be a little embarrassing to him, but it's family and neighborhood folklore.
I'll put it on my Instagram, everybody.
Yes.
Follow me, OOH_EM_JI.
OMG. I was all of 6 or 7, so my younger brother was all of 1 or 2. My older brother was probably eight or nine. It was a hot summer, the exact opposite of this summer. It was a drought. We had no rain really through the summer.
How long is this story going to be?
It's important to the story. So the yards in our area in Donner's Grove, where we grew up, were pretty. I mean, the tinder was there, I guess you could say.
Yes.
To be lit up.
So it was very dry.
Very dry. And my parents were gone. I don't know exactly where they went. They went away for the day, and we had hired a new babysitter, one of the neighborhood girls, to watch the three of us. I believe I ended up going to the zoo with a neighbor. And anyways, my parents called the check-in at some point, and they called the babysitter, who, what, is 13, 14 years old. How's everything going? And the neighborhood girl said, oh, it's going great. Things are fine, except for the fire. And my parents are like, excuse me? Oh, I almost said his name. My older brother, he got into the fireworks, and there was a small fire. Oh, okay, where was the fire? In the front lawn, but he put it out. It's great. Everything's fine. And my parents are like, we're coming home. So they came home, and they drove up, and this quote-unquote small fire had destroyed our front lawn. A giant black patch as big as the room we sit in, G.
You are kidding
me. In our front lawn. A lawn that my dad takes very good care of.
Yes. Probably. Fertilizes.
Yes.
Mows.
My parents are big into the gardening of the lawn and into the whole thing.
How much trouble was your brother in?
He got grounded for, the entirety of the summer. Now, to his credit, he put out the fire. So it didn't spread. He knew where the hose was. He knew what to do. My favorite, I distinctly remember the interrogation that happened afterwards. How did this happen? He said that some neighborhood boys drove by in a car and threw some fireworks on the lawn. Then it changed to that he had a magnifying glass and he was looking at the grass and the sun came through the magnifying glass.
Now, I would have given him points
some bonus
for being
points.
Creative. I would have, taken off a couple of days.
The real kicker of the story is that he got grounded and sent to his room, where he also then lit off fireworks and burned the carpet. So a little bit of a 8-year-old interested in fire, you know, which a lot of young boys and girls, I'm sure, are.
Something to be said about determination there.
Yes.
I think I see a lot of similarities in the two of you.
Okay. Well, for me, it's not the fire, but we all have our own things that, yes, we're into. But I will say, and my dad always says this, that next year, we had the best lawn on the block because it was a controlled burn. It took out all the weeds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, every neighborhood should have a controlled burn when they have a nice little drought there, as long as they can control it. I mean, you can't legally do it, but yeah, the lawn next year was as green as could possibly be.
Wow.
Looked great, but for one summer, just jet black.
That's a good story, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 847 says we used to have full-out wars with bottle rockets and Roman candles shooting at each other in the woods. Nothing but a haze of smoke lingered. Hopefully all 10 fingers. Oh, my goodness. I'm just scared of them.
Can you imagine being, I'm sure it's probably one of the worst calls a parent can get. I'm sure there's, but
there's
can
worse,
you imagine,
yes,
there's worse. I don't mean it that way, but I mean in terms of like non-death
calls.
But like, you know, if you leave the kids with the babysitter and they're like, everything's great except for the small fire.
Yeah. I don't think she ever babysat again for us. And it wasn't my parents' choice. I'm sure it was hers.
Oh, yes.
We went through babysitters. I mean, with three boys.
Were you guys terrors?
I wasn't. I was calm and I was the angel. I was the middle one. I was the peacemaker.
But then you got what you wanted because you were like teacher's pet.
I was great until I was about 13. And then I was the talker, the arguer. But no, but with three boys, finding a babysitter who could sustain and stay for more than just one session was a big victory. Eventually, I think my parents just decided just to lock the doors and leave us.
Your mother. Yeah. I mean, that's the good thing about like living in the suburbs. Like you can let the kids play outside.
I'm sure, DCFS would have been by if they knew it. My parents just locked the doors and said, good luck, kids.
I was a latchkey kid, too.
312-91-7200. Any fireworks stories or any interesting 4th of July stuff, be sure to give us a call. Gee, maybe after this break we can talk about the story of, I know we had the Montana texter.
Yeah.
Maybe they're listening on WGNradio.com. Maybe they're new to Chicago from Montana.
Welcome.
Yeah, we want to talk about and get Chicagoans' input here on this 4th of July.
Yeah.
And maybe there's tourists that are obviously driving around, they're in town to see the fireworks or whatever it might be. Things that you would recommend that every, as a Chicagoan or Chicagoland area person, advice you would give to a new Chicagoan or a visitor mm-hmm. or a place that they absolutely have to check out or things to do or just a lesson that you could impart. I'm going to start thinking of that.
Yeah,
you too, G.
I'm ready.
We'll take a quick commercial break and more on 720 WGN. I'm 720 WGN. Happy 4th of July, everybody. 11:46 here on this beautiful Thursday morning here so far. Jisuke and myself in for, well, first for Cochran, then Bill and Wendy, and all the way through half of Steve Bertrand's show, too, leading up to White Sox baseball pregame at 12:35. You having fun, G?
Yes.
A lot of people are out texting in. They're like, I love hearing G.
I appreciate that.
We miss you on Windy City Live. Of course, you can check her out on the Sun Times. But here on WGN Radio, not only today, but tomorrow too, right?
Yes, and then I'll be back here on Monday. Tomorrow I'm here early.
Yeah, you're in for Cochran.
Yes.
With Mark Harmon.
Yes.
And then,
I'm glad you know my schedule better than I do.
Well, you know, because
this is great.
Right.
You're my manager now.
Yes, okay.
Everybody?
Well, then I want the cut. And
you
then,
got it.
Then Monday we're in for Bill and Wendy, the 2 hours on GN, and then the bonus hour.
Yeah, good luck with your cut. You could maybe buy like a...
Yeah, exactly.
Crackers with it or something.
Yeah, exactly. 720 WGN, we've been talking about fireworks, and I just told a really embarrassing story about my brother and what he did with fireworks. And again, as we tell these stories, it is important to remember that the most important thing is safety. So while we joke right. about near misses with fireworks, let's emphasize that they're illegal in Chicago, and the sparklers are illegal.
And safety with everything. I know everyone's doing long drives or traveling. Be safe driving.
I just don't want any messages that we're the reason someone lost
a
finger.
Yeah. You know, everything in moderation, drinking in moderation, partying in moderation.
Amen. Let's go to Tony. Tony, does your story involve moderation?
Probably not.
Tony, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from, I live in Mundelein, but I'm out at the airport right now.
Oh, wonderful.
Anyway,
all right, Tony, what's your fireworks story?
I drive over part-time a little bit, so... My neighbor and I were partners in crime when we were little kids. He's a year older than me, and his brother was about 4 years older, so he was like a little juvenile delinquent sort of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, like, his parents were always working, so we had the house next door, and his brother would, like, shoot Roman candles at us at the bottom of the yard, and we try to get in the back door with garbage can lids in front of us.
Oh, my.
Blocking Roman candles.
Can you even imagine doing that to this day? How old were you when you were doing this?
Probably, you know, 10.
Okay. Mike, I mean, what a different world we live in, or maybe not, because people still do this. Obviously, you probably wouldn't advocate any kids to do that.
No. Oh, no. Oh, my children weren't allowed near those things.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's amazing.
This is the same guy who shoot BB guns at us as we come up the hill with the garbage can. We had a great next-door neighbor, older brother, that would just, you know, play games with us. But anyway, we never got hurt, you know, but that was just luck, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Very much luck. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, thanks for the phone call. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. You have a good day, you guys.
And enjoy
you
the fourth.
Too. You know what I'm enjoying right now? I've seen kayakers.
Oh, now you're seeing kayakers in the river. Yeah, that's always fun. Man,
have you done that yet?
Yeah, I did that a couple years ago, which was cool. But I just love, as we look down at the Chicago River heading to east, you know, all the stuff we see along the south side of Chicago River, that wasn't here like 3 months ago. They've done such a good job.
So gorgeous.
That's just really changed everything. Maybe that's a great segue to what you should do if you're new to Chicago or visiting.
Yeah.
A must list. I don't know what it is. Either it's a piece of advice you have for someone in Chicago. And let's keep it fun, people. We did this on The Jam on WCIU on our Facebook page. And some people are like, buy a gun. Get ready
please.
For taxes.
No, none of that.
Duh. There's good points.
We want fun stuff.
Yeah, we can talk about that stuff another day.
Yes.
We're looking for fun things. So I would say we are blessed in Chicago. We are the third coast, I would say.
Hashtag blessed.
We got 26 beaches to choose from, up and down Chicago, into the suburbs, and wrapping around into northwest Indiana. We got this beautiful Chicago River. While we can use it, the 14 days that it's nice, use it. Get out there.
So
if you're new to Chicago, check it out.
I want to know, though. Do you?
Yeah, because of my brother's boat. But yes, we walk up and down the lakefront sometimes. Enrique and I did a nice long walk about a week or two ago. And maybe not as much as we should, but definitely. Yeah. Take advantage of it.
Okay.
All right, well, G, what are you thinking? Piece of advice or
a thing to do? I'm going to say, I have a lot, but this is my advice. If you're new to Chicago and you're new to the transit system, and then you're on, you're getting around with CTA because you don't have a car. Now, right. Chicago is great because it's a place you can, drive. Can actually have a car.
You can still drive here, for sure.
Definitely.
It's not Manhattan.
You can accommodate both. But I'm sans car, so I remember a lesson I learned very early on was I was catching the blue line, the L, and I saw all the train cars were full except one. So I thought, oh, lucky me. I'm going to go sit on that
this is the G
train. I'm
going to
sit on that car. It's empty. It's great. All for me. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like I am VIP by myself. So I get on it. There's the air conditioning is out. And clearly something happened there that wasn't good. And the
four words to ruin your CTA experience.
Yes. Yeah, the smell was very, very strong.
Okay.
And but of course, I had been on the train, and then I was too nervous to go from car to car because I was brand new. I didn't know that you could go through the little doors.
Oh no, you shouldn't do that.
But, okay, don't do that.
That's
everybody,
not
don't, do that.
Yeah,
no?
Don't do that.
Okay, don't
no.
do that. Never mind.
No,
okay,
don't
take
do
it
that.
Back.
But you could have gotten off at the next stop and changed.
Well, I did, but okay. I had to wait, and it was a long time before the next stop. I've seen people. I guess you're not supposed to do that.
Don't
sorry,
do
guys.
That.
Don't
yeah.
do that.
I mean, it's. I mean, people do it. So
yeah, don't do it though.
We're not in charge.
Don't do it though.
Yeah,
but
so,
I mean, it was. I mean, I was dying.
So empty CTA car
means don't get on it.
Bad sign.
Yes,
that's a good
if
one.
If people aren't on it,
there's
as
a reason.
Crowded as the L is,
right.
There's a reason.
Right, they didn't
and
just open
that.
It up
I
for you
that quickly. Yes,
three
I
one,
thought, oh, lucky me.
Look, you just got it. You're the queen. 312-981-7200. Talk or text if you got some piece of advice or something to do for Chicagoans if they're visiting or here. 773 must see Buckingham Fountain, Navy Pier into the Lake Tour, and the Wendella boats. Those are definitely great things to do. Buckingham Fountain is incredible. Navy Pier is great too. Of course, it can be a little crowded, but they've got a lot of good things to do. Yeah, and this is the thing, is that you got to knock some of these tourist things off the list. I've
right.
got lists that are super long about diving into neighborhoods, and yeah, there's certain
yeah,
little spots,
I mean,
and you
I
can do that. And
we're city of neighborhoods.
Yes, and exploring them is great. But mm-hmm. yeah, there are some touristy ones that you should probably knock off at some
You know
some
what
point.
I do? When people do come visit me, I always recommend the Chicago Architecture Boat Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Because you do learn a lot. It's a way to get on a boat. It's not... You know, you learn a lot. It's not too expensive. It takes out half a day.
Yeah.
The knowledge is incredible.
Yeah.
The architecture here is so outstanding, and the variety is incredible.
I didn't do it till last year, and I've lived here my whole life, and it was incredible. So
but
even
I think that happens a lot for lifelong people.
Well, I think people think that when
residents,
they live here that that's a touristy thing.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm not going to do it. It's touristy.
Right.
No, you learn so much about your own city's history.
It's fantastic.
It's really good.
I mean, all of this was swampland. They had to drain it. It's unbelievable.
And they had to raise the buildings here 100 and some years ago. They had to raise the buildings, people.
I mean, could you imagine now, like, if somebody were to say, like, hey, I have a great idea. This whole entire area is swamp. I'm going to drain it and build a city.
Right, I
Who
know.
Who would listen? Nobody would. Mm-mm. People would be like, you're crazy.
Thank goodness.
The other thing that I do is I take everybody to the signature room on the John Hancock.
Just to get that view?
Yeah, just for the view. Go get a drink. Don't have to do dinner. Just
yeah,
no, get
no,
the
no.
drink.
I agree.
You don't have to pay for that. You know,
yeah, we did that.
Fee.
We did that last year. It was really cool. And again, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, that's touristy. No, if you live here, you should do that too. Every now and then. 772 texted in, rent a bike and ride the lakefront trail. Can't beat the views. That's Jim from Florida letting
Absolutely.
Us know.
Absolutely. You just have to be aware of, like, make sure you're in the right lane.
Mm-hmm.
There's some bikers that go really fast.
Here's an advice one from the 312. So, Chi-Town, which, another thing, don't say Chi-Town.
Yes, no, don't.
Can't believe I even just uttered that
okay.
those words.
You're just trying to mix it up.
Yep. Best advice I can give someone new to Chicago, pay your parking tickets before they build up. Raise your hand above the three of us if you've gotten a boot. You got a boot?
Oh,
you're in Sean's car, yeah.
When I initially came, I did have a car.
Yeah.
And can I tell you something? I still think I have outstanding tickets on it. I got rid of the car.
Any cops out there, if you could plug this
not
in.
Caught up with me.
Oh, you're lucky.
But you know what? If you're moving to the city, it's like you have to read all the signage.
Yeah.
And that is very difficult.
It's
you need a law degree to read all the signage.
Right. I got to say, with the parking tickets as well, obviously pay them. But the parking, what was I going to say?
It's like the legalese, the fine print. It's like between 4 to 6 on this side of the street. And then there's street cleaning starting April 1st. Then there's this. And then you got to look for the things that the police have just come up to tie around the poles.
I will say, get a city sticker. They're like $80 for the year, which isn't nothing. I didn't get one for 3 years, and I never got a ticket for it. But it's a $200 ticket if you don't get a city sticker.
Well, you know, people think if they have a garage, they don't have to get one. But I've had friends who have parked their car in like a garage down in the city.
Boom.
And they've gotten one. So someone's walked into the garage.
Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, you're on WGN. Thanks for calling.
Hey, you're welcome. Yeah, I would definitely start at Buckingham Fountain and then try to be there, take in one of the free concerts at Millennial Park. I know Yo-Yo Ma was there a couple weeks ago, which is, you know, amazing. And then to piggyback on the Signature Room, definitely would check that out with the Aaron Water Show.
Oh, yes.
And do the Aaron Water Show on the practice day.
Oh yeah, it's the Friday then, because then they do the Saturday and the Sunday. Oh, that's a little less crowded, and you still get the same exact show. That's great advice, Kathy. Kathy, where are you calling from today?
Oh, I'm calling from Lake Bluff.
Oh, Lake Bluff! Shout out to you. Happy 4th of July, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
I'm getting hungry. It's not going to help with this next call. Phil, what's your advice for anyone visiting or maybe just moved to Chicago?
You got to go have a hot dog or a beef sandwich. There's a zillion places.
Yep.
Luke's, Byron's, Woofies.
No ketchup.
Oh, okay, hold on.
You put ketchup on it, and that's worse than the parking ticket.
No!
Yes, no ketchup, John Hansen.
Phil, thank you for the phone call. I got to say, the ketchup thing drives me crazy.
No ketchup.
I have ketchup. I love ketchup on my hot dogs. I've lived here my whole life. No one can explain to me why it is. I think it's some corporate marketing thing they did back in the 30s that has stuck. Put ketchup on your darn hot dog if you want it.
Why not? That's not Chicago style.
But why? Can anyone explain it? Can anyone explain it? Or is it just the thing that we built in that you can't do it?
Well, it's just not. Every region has their style of dog, okay, John?
Yeah. Right. Slather that thing. Just dip it in ketchup.
Here's a tip. Have you ever been to Osaka Garden?
No.
Yeah, Garden of the Phoenix in Hyde Park.
No, I haven't been there.
It is the most tranquil, most beautiful. It looks like it came out of a Monet painting.
Like a little escape from the city, too?
There's a lily pond. I mean, it's breathtaking. There's a pagoda. If you need a little escape, go down there.
Okay.
Hyde Park.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick commercial break and then the news. But if you've got someone new to Chicago, and even better yet, if you are new to Chicago.
Yes.
Or you're visiting.
That's even better because they should tell us what they find strange.
Oh, yeah.
About us.
What's weird about Chicago? New people. 312-981-7200. After this on 720 WGN.
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout, come on now, don't forget to say you will.
720 WGN, 1207 on this 4th of July. Jisuki, how you doing? You having fun?
I'm great. I'm shouting.
You are shouting. When this goes on at the wedding, I can get low. How low can you get, G?
Like a limbo?
Not even, no, like when you're grinding down to the floor.
It just depends how many drinks I've had.
Want to try it right now?
No.
Turn this music up a little bit. Let's see how low we can get. Let's see how low the microphone can get. I can get down. There we go.
How are your knees? How are your knees?
Yep. WGNradio.com if you want to watch the live stream of G and John getting down.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, getting low, I should say.
Yeah, not getting down. That sounds
That's a whole other show. You got to follow our Instagram for that. G turned me, everyone. Sorry, Enrique. 312-981-7200 if you want to join the conversation. We'd make a great husband and wife.
I think we would. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, I like your hustle. You work hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that is the best attribute in a partner. Mm-hmm. It's somebody that's motivated, ambitious, and working hard. Am I right, Viv?
Yes,
Can
you
I get
are.
An amen?
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Because then you know that they're going to hustle for you as a couple and for your future, and that they're going to help take care of you and make the effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like you are somebody that would never take no for an answer. You would just pound the pavement until
it happens.
It happened.
Amen to that.
You're a good. Well, your parents raised a good one.
Gee, I love you
too.
Your
parents raised a good.
Good Mike and Marcia, nice work. Except for the fireworks. Oh, that was my brother.
Yeah.
We were just briefly talking. We got Blockbuster Blake going to join us here in a second. But just wrapping up the conversation of advice to new Chicagoans. Mm-hmm.
Wait, Viv, what's your advice?
Oh yeah. What do you got for a new Chicagoan?
Oof, gosh, I really don't want to be negative here, but just don't complain about the weather.
I agree. I am so sick of people complaining about the weather.
Yeah.
It is Chicago. It is rainier than it has been. It is historic in many ways, but it's not. Go outside right now, people. Do it now. Stop complaining.
But you know what? The good thing about us having such bad weather is that we are into other things. Like, we're not, like, we, our bars are great. Eating is great. Yeah. We have great food.
Right.
We, you know, we're not
fat
so
and drunk a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't body shame people because people here like to eat and we have a little meat on our bones.
Yeah, a little bit. We got a little bit. Not you, G.
We're not like LA. It's not all like frou frou and everyone's, you know.
630 says you've got to refer to the grocery store as the Jewels.
Yes, Jewels.
Or the Jewel. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Plural.
Other things. We got a great collection of things to do, including great roller coasters at Great America. And they say that I'll be your guide as you scream along on Max Force, which I did the other day, which was a lot of fun. So, more messages from Happy 4th of July and stuff like that. Cool. I don't know. I wanted someone from who's brand new to the area to call us. We can still do that at the end of the show.
Yeah.
If you're new to Chicago, let's say like under a year.
Right. And they're baffled by something.
Yes.
Why do you guys do this?
Yes.
Or why is it like this here?
What's the weirdest thing about us? Or if you're listening elsewhere and have had a chance to visit, 312-981-7200. What is weird about us Chicagoans? Someone who else is weird is my good friend Blake Stubbs. Blockbuster Blake does movie reviews. Blake, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, my weird self. No, I'm excellent today. It is glorious out. I'm looking forward to spending some time with family and friends. And you know what? It's a good time to go see movies. You messaged me a little while ago, and I was like, dude, there's some really good stuff out right now. So,
by the way,
I'm glad we got to chat.
I'm looking at the radar. Some storms popping up just southwest of Peoria, so be careful, Blake, okay? But if you're heading out to the movies, I kind of asked you, G, are you much of a movie goer? Are you?
I love movies.
Do you go to the theaters?
I like going to the theater because I go to the Davis Theater in Lincoln Square, and there's a great theater. Food attached.
Yes.
And beers attached.
You just go there for the food and drink, and there's a movie.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a whole outing.
All right, so Blake, three movies that if you are walking out the door today and you're like, I don't want to deal with this outside, I don't like the heat, it's storming, whatever the case may be, what are we going to go see?
Well, John, you and I had the first a pick for me is a movie we talked about just the other night here on WGN, Toy Story 4.
Mm-hmm.
If it's hot and you want to take the family out to see a movie, Toy Story 4 is an excellent choice. I was very high on this film. I think that by and large, the third Toy Story film, everybody felt put a lid on the story. But I will say this, it definitely put a lid on the story for the collective of toys that a lot of us grew up watching.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Story 4 is more about Woody. It's more Woody focused, and it's funny, it's charming. There's still enough of the magic from the Toy Story universe to keep us engaged. And I think, honestly, from a tech standpoint, you know, Pixar's image development from their early days to now, it's fantastic to see how beautiful their films have come along.
All right.
And Toy Story 4 is the latest showcase. So easily, Toy Story 4.
All
that's
right.
A big one.
That's number one. What do we got for number two? If someone's like, forget kids or fun movies or anything like that, what else am I going to go see?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to highly recommend that people still try to go see John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. I love this film. I saw it twice in theaters. I'm due to probably go see it again a third time. It's action-packed from start to finish. It's got that big bang. You know, if you're looking for a bang but you don't want to sit out in the heat today, go see John Wick Chapter 3. Keanu Reeves is outstanding. The action sequences are crazy. Some of them very over the top, but the movie flies along, and it's a good escapist movie, I think, to go see today.
All right. Escape away for it. Okay, what about number three?
Number three, I just saw it the other night. I was in love with it. It was Spider-Man Far From Home. This is the first Marvel movie to come out after Avengers Endgame, you know, that big colossal movie event that is still in theaters because they're trying to overtake Avatar. But Spider-Man Far From Home is sort of a, where are we now in the Marvel Universe after all of these big events have occurred? And it tells a fairly, you know, single character-centric story with Peter Parker, but at the same time, the action sequences are outstanding. It's very big. It's globe-trotting because Spider-Man goes to Europe in this film.
Oh, wow.
And,
wait, does he web also, across? Does he just use his webs to get across or what?
No, honestly, he's just trying to go on vacation.
Okay.
He's just going on a class trip. And he's like, I don't want to be Spider-Man. I just want to go on vacation and potentially woo the girl that I like.
Ooh.
And there's nothing wrong with that,
no.
Right? You think, oh, okay.
Even so Spider-Man needs to get some, everyone, sometimes. Come on.
Yeah, you know. And the other thing is, I would say that this movie is funny. I would say that the action I've already mentioned is pretty outstanding. But also, I don't want to spoil too much, but I think where they went with the villain in this film is quite excellent. I really enjoyed how they handled the story of this film. I think that, you know, we've been getting some really good villains in the Marvel Universe, if you've been paying attention and going to see these movies. Namely, I really want to focus on, like, Michael B. Jordan's Killmonger in Black Panther. Everybody walked away from that saying, wow, what an awesome villain. I think Marvel kind of picked up on how well they can craft these villains, and I really did enjoy what they did with this film. But again, I don't want to spoil anything. I think people are going to see this movie. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about, and okay. I hope you enjoyed it as well. But yeah, Spider-Man Far From Home is a really good choice because I think it also covers a lot of different age brackets. You know, if you've ever been a fan of Spider-Man, which, you know, dates all the way back, I believe, into the early or into the 60s, or right now, if you've got young kids that want to go see it, if I was recommending, I would say 10 years old or higher. Honestly, but I'm not one to, you know, tell anybody how to raise their kids.
Right.
So Spider-Man Far From Home, though, is very enjoyable.
All right.
I would very much recommend it.
I like those recommendations. If any movie in the last couple months that you've seen that you want to push for at the theater?
Yes, everybody. Well, it's not at the theater. It's in the theater in your home. it is on Netflix. It's called Always Be My Maybe.
Oh, okay.
It's comedian Ali Wong and then Keanu Reeves, Mr. John Wick himself. What? Makes a cameo in it. And listen, it's hilarious.
What's it called?
His Always Be My Maybe. Always Be My Maybe.
I get it.
Such a good movie.
Thank you, Viv.
Such
and were you shocked when Keanu Reeves came up?
Yes.
Me too. And even though I've told you that he makes a cameo, it's not going to ruin it. That is probably the funniest part of the movie.
All right.
So great.
I liked it better than Crazy Rich Asians. I think it represented us better.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's a great transition to talk about the theater at the home. Well, G likes to go out and experience things. I like my couch. Blake, what can I... one or two picks for streaming today if I want to stay inside.
Well, I'm going to stick with the idea that with streaming platforms being as broad-reaching as they are now, it used to just be if you have Netflix and it's on there, you can watch it. But now you can kind of rent things on the cheap. If you're sitting at home and you want to enjoy something about in that $4 range. So the stuff I'm going to recommend for you is either free or it's probably like a $4 rental.
Okay.
Number one is Stranger Things Season 3.
Okay.
That's not a movie, but that's a TV show. I will admit, I started it. It's sitting on pause on my TV screen right now because I was so anxious. But then I was like, oh, wait, I have to do radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. I'm about 30 minutes in. The stakes are a little, they're still like panning out. I'm still trying to get a sense of where they're going this season in the first 30. However, the visuals on the show have definitely been upped quite a bit. They have a lot more money to play with, and I can just tell that from the first 30 minutes. The other thing is I've heard that it's more like an 8-hour blockbuster.
Ooh.
So if you're looking for something to marathon, binge, do that thing that we do as a society once they drop it all at once, Stranger Things Season 3 is out today, and I think a lot of people are probably ignoring me right now and watching that.
Big question is, will Barb show up? That's what I want to know.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there's justice for Barb and there's justice for Bob. So I'm curious. Those are the two big characters that people feel got a little shortchanged. So I don't know. I don't want to say anything because I have no clue yet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay as pure as I can. Although, let's be real. If I don't watch all of this today, something's going to get spoiled over the next 2 days.
Yes, exactly.
Like people are going to beat me to it and they're going to tell me. So I'm excited, though. I like where they're going. It's 1985 in the show. So, summer of 1985, which is an excellent year. I was born that year. So, for me, it's, you know, I was born in the fall, but, the time, you know, the place, the way that they've always constructed, the 80s and these, the nostalgia is there, but at the same time, they've been telling pretty good stories.
Oh, we got time for
Stranger Things Season 3.
One more pick, Blake, at home. What are you watching?
Oh, John, there's only one pick to make, and that's you're going to pay $4 and you're going to watch Jaws.
Yeah.
Fourth of July.
We just had a text about that. Yes, $4 to watch Jaws. That's a good deal.
$4 to watch Jaws. Now, unless you own it or something, obviously watch that. But I would always recommend Jaws on the 4th of July. And of course, there's Independence Day. Any other patriotic film you want to watch? And speaking of that, I will be on WGN again tonight with Dane Neal around 8:30 talking patriotic movies and probably giving a little bit more of an in-depth on Spider-Man Far From Home.
All right.
So there you go.
All right, Blake. Well, we'll let you get back to Stranger Things. Your goal now is to finish it before you're on with Dane Neal in about 8 hours or so. Blake, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me. You guys have a great day.
That's Blockbuster Blake. We'll wrap things up with G and John next on 720 WGN. Y'all trying to do. 720 WGN, 1222 on this 4th of July. We're in the afternoon in the waning moments of the G and John show. I know you're going to educate me in a second, G. Do you mind if we go to the phone line really quickly?
Should.
Yeah, because we've been asking for recommendations for new Chicagoans or out-of-towners or what makes Chicagoans weird. And holding on the line through Blockbuster Blake is Jeff. Jeff, thanks for hanging on. What do you got for us?
John and G. A great show.
Thank you.
Anyway, one of the things that I went to a tour of the Metropolitan Sanitary District Water Treatment Center. I think it's from your office. You can probably see it in the lake. What they do is they bring water from Lake Michigan and then they treat it and then pump it into, well, you know, all the high rises and everywhere else, and all the way out to Schaumburg and Elgin. They have pipelines, and people take clean water just as, like, well,
for granted,
for granted, right? And they don't realize how much work goes into cleaning that up. So that's my comment about that.
Jeff.
Love it.
Love it. That's something unusual that I never expected. Have a great 4th of July, Jeff, okay?
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for holding on. That was worth that hold, too.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about everything that it takes to run a city.
Oh, my gosh. No. Just
and
the toilets
all the
alone.
Yeah. Workers.
Oh, God bless them. A lot of them working today. 630 says, for out-of-town drivers, our expressways must be confusing.
Yes.
We, of course, use Edens, Kennedy, Ike, Stevenson, Dan Ryan, and people are like, especially now with GPS, everyone's like 90, 94, turns back to 90, then to 94, then joins it again, and it's 90, 94 as you head towards Wisconsin before it splits again and then rejoins. So, yeah, that's not the easiest thing in the world. I'm upset about the hot dog thing because I want to put ketchup in my hot dog. No one can explain to me why, right, Gene?
Right, but I think historically it's because, one, people think that ketchup is too powerful and that overpowers the taste of the sausage, the hot dog. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes historically, you know, sometimes meat wouldn't be so fresh. And so you'd have to use those condiments to cover up and help out. And then the other thing, too, is that people think it might be redundant because if you mix up the flavor of all the toppings on a classic Chicago style hot dog, which is mustard, sweet relish, onion, tomato, pickle, spear, sport peppers and celery salt, that's already kind of tangy and savory and sweet. And so it's already kind of a little bit like ketchup. So you're being redundant.
Okay, that's the best explanation I've got. No, it is, because
you weren't expecting that.
No. Well, usually when I ask people, they say, Chicago.
I just want you to be 100% satisfied so that the next time that you rant and rave,
right.
Of course, you can do whatever you want.
Of course.
Put the ketchup on. But here's the thing. If you're doing a classic Chicago-style dog,
right.
And then you add the ketchup, it does kind of cover up the toppings on a classic-style Chicago dog.
I know David Shostokas here was earlier explaining what was in the minds of our founding fathers as they formed the Declaration of Independence, which, of course, ended up being the birth of America. And I'm not going to try and put myself in their brains, but I bet that one of the things they were thinking of when they were drafting that document was my freedom to put whatever the hell I want on my hot dog. I put ketchup and mustard on. I've lived in this city and I'm a suburban person first. You got to say where you're actually from. I'm from Downers Grove, live in Chicago for 10 years, but go on.
But when you're putting ketchup on the dog, is it a Chicago-style dog?
No.
Is it just a plain dog?
Just a plain dog.
Okay, listen, it makes sense if you're putting it on a plain dog, but if it's a Chicago-style dog, you don't need the ketchup on it.
First of all, I love how you just turned up that Chicago accent when you want to, G. G, Viv, first of all, what a great day. Viv, and you're going to be with us on Monday, too, as well.
Yes, I am.
We cannot wait. We already got the topics of brewing. The guests are getting booked. G, you're on tomorrow morning, too.
I am.
You need to figure out when, because your manager has...
I don't know what time. No, I think I'm with Mark Carman. We're here for Steve Cochran.
Yeah?
6 to 10? I mean, you know, nothing beats our chemistry, John. I don't know.
Well,
it's been fireworks in here, but...
Carm is great. You'll have a blast. And then G and I will will be back on Monday morning. We'll say our goodbyes in just a few moments here on 720 WGN. Any parting words, G, as we wrap things up?
Thanks for having us, and stay safe out there, kiddos. Moderation is the key.
That was what I was going to say. Be safe out there. Practice moderation. We talked about fireworks, and we were laughing a little bit about it, but please be safe out there, people. And a huge thank you to our first responders who are working today.
Yes.
A lot of those city workers making our city and suburbs run. Our service members here, training and abroad, serving our wonderful military.
Yes, keeping us free.
Amen to all of those things. So please go outside if you can. Enjoy the day before the storms rumble on through. Be safe. And again, you can catch G and Carmen tomorrow morning in for Cochran. G and John back on Monday morning at 10 a.m. in for Bill and Wendy, and a lot more fun along the way. Viv, have a great 4th of July. You going to go out and have some fun?
Yes, we're going to go boating.
Go boating while you can.